Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Okay, what's going on, gang? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America. All the ships at sea. Greetings and high fives and fist bumps all the way around. I'm Alan. Thank you for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys.
Mary Santora is out today. She's on the road. She's doing a gig tonight at University of Wisconsin Stout. UW Stout. So if you're, I don't know if we have any bureau chiefs in Menominee, Wisconsin, but you can see her tonight. So sausage party show today.
Sausage.
Say hi to Pound Cake, who's back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
I'm the subject of your Carolina Reaper Pepper Polar Blast punishment. One option for that that a lot of people have hit me up about. I know we had the guy call us yesterday and say that he grows them and he would drop some off. But you can buy a single chip online, like Amazon sells them. People are hitting me up. They're like, if you want to go the chip route, you can buy a single chip.
It's just as bad?
Well, I don't know. It's a company trying to sell Reaper chips, I guess. But I imagine it's not as bad as eating a straight pepper.
And whatever you guys want. It's my punishment, so I never have a say in the first place, so you guys.
You always have a say. Every single time. You have to agree to it.
You have a say because you vetoed so many other suggestions.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Whatever you guys want me to do for this particular instance, I will agree to. So if you want me to do the chip, I'll do the chip. If you guys want me to do the pepper, I'll do the pepper. Because I've been so picky in every other area, I'm giving you guys free will on this.
Oh, thank you. Just giving me... You mean free reign?
Yeah.
No, free will, Alan. You have free will.
I will choose free will. All right, well, good. There you go. So now that he's agreed on a punishment, however we want to take it is how we'll take it. I don't know. Figure it out, right?
And what's worse? What's the...
Well, I think that eating a straight pepper would be worse than eating a chip.
I think so.
That is dusted with the, you know... Plus, the single chip's like $40. I went online.
What?
Yeah, because people hit me up. I'm sure there's more than one company that does it, but there's some company called Pocky, Take the Pocky Challenge or whatever, and they send you a single chip that's shrink-wrapped and in a like a cardboard box or whatever, and I went on Amazon, and they have them, and they're like $39. Huh?
What if you get it and it's like broken?
Well, I mean, for aesthetic purposes, you'd want it to be a one piece, but imagine it wouldn't lose any of its heat if the chip was broken. Either way, we'll figure it out. Our Polar Blast tubing race happens this Friday night. You have the opportunity, dear customer, to predict which team you think will win. And there's a chance for you to win all the prizes that the winning team gets because the odds are not with any of us on the show that will win. We have a 25% chance of winning. And each one of us with a punishment. So you can go to alancoxshow.com. You can use the keyword Polar Blast and all the information is going to be there. For you for that. If you want to join us in here, 216-578-1007 or 800-348-1007. Either of those will work. You can call anytime, 24 hours a day on the after hours line. A lot of podcast listeners that can't call live will call the after hours line, which is 216-986-8903. You can text me, 35192. I feel ridiculous giving people all this information. It says that I want people I want to accommodate people they listen to the show.
Engagement is key.
It's a lot of information.
There's a lot of different ways to engage.
Yeah.
So I get it. There's the live stream. The comments blew up yesterday in the Rush segment that we did. There's like 600 comments on that one.
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Announcing that he has advanced lung cancer. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody comment.
All very level-headed comments.
I saw somebody comment, lung cancer announces it has Rush Limbaugh, was one. And again, what I was hoping would not happen, of course happened. A lot of people were like, yay, you know, Rush Limbaugh's sick, you know. And that just, listen, I don't agree with the guy at all, but that kind of sentiment makes me just feel gross.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So, whatever. But yeah, I imagine that the comments at the live stream were... both sides of that Rush Limbaugh coin going at each other.
Yep. Sure was.
There you go. And that's fine.
But again, they kept it very respectable. They weren't flying off the handle in any way. Just, you know, I see your point here, but I disagree with you in
you
so
know
many
what?
Words.
I respectfully disagree, although I, you know.
I don't know how people have the energy in this day and age to still argue.
Because it doesn't take any energy to argue on your keyboard. It takes energy to argue with someone in real time, face to face, because you've got to have things ready and you've got to know.
No, it's
keyboard,
not.
Keyboard, it doesn't take any energy.
It takes a ton of energy.
It doesn't, though. Click, send.
It doesn't take physical energy, but it takes mental and, like, it drains you. I have friends that will get into crazy arguments with people on Facebook. I was just talking to a guy yesterday. He's like, I threw my phone across the room because this guy was, they're arguing about basketball. And this guy just kept calling him a clown instead of looking up the term he was trying to explain to
him. Threw his phone across the room because of something.
Yes,
and I'm like, online.
I'm like, dude, this is why I don't ever comment on anything.
You can't survive in real life.
But that's and that's precisely my point. These are already people who have got to have.
He's a good guy. This is a guy.
I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I'm just saying these are people who are easily pushed over the edge,
clearly,
whether or not they're online.
I don't know if they are though.
Throwing your phone because somebody called you a clown in a basketball conversation.
I'm saying maybe he's a little sensitive.
Especially when there's a mute button and a block button.
But it's ridiculous to even give that person the energy in the first place to just continually go back and forth and just argue with people and think that you're going to change anybody's mind. Nobody's mind gets changed.
But it also requires
the comment section.
It requires a lack of irony, and it requires a lack of sense of humor to get that worked up about something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this guy's a comedian and he did that, so. I guess at times comedians can be sensitive and lack sense of humor, but it's ridiculous. I just don't get that into it. I don't get into Facebook comments. I've seen Mary get into this with people and just go on and on, keep trying to get that last comment in and try and be like, well, that's your point, but my point's this, and you just go back and forth, and nothing changes.
It also requires more free time than I have.
Yes,
I consider my time to be very valuable. It's limited, and whatever free time I have, I choose to not use it in that way. It's not like I can't get worked up.
Yeah, the mental.
Of course, I can get worked up.
The mental energy it takes. I mean, I get worked up every day when I look online. I look at stuff, but I don't let it stay with me. I see it in that moment. I process it, and I'm done with it. But people that just comment and comment and comment, and that's all they have, makes me very sad.
You gotta breathe in, and then Bill breathes out, right?
That was Alan.
Breathe in your beehole, breathe out your beehole, and then it's all good. All right, good. Fantastic. A lot of people also thought that I was joking with After Dark Marcel yesterday. I was not joking with After Dark Marcel. That was a real caller from New York. I do realize that this company, by the way, this company has people who do fake call-ins to talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
We've never used those before because, frankly, you don't need to. But yeah, if you're doing some kind of show where you're like desperate for a particular opinion and nobody's calling to give you that opinion, this company, you know, they hire people that can do that. But after Dark Marcel, one of my favorite new customers of the show, calling us from Brooklyn, and wherever he was coming from, psychologically, I'm a big fan. And he's after Dark Marcel on Twitter.
He's only slightly better than the low hum in your head that says your dog's giving you the bedroom eyes.
This is the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Another $1,000 for you in about 8 minutes, closer to 2:30. Chance for you to go fund yourself. 30 past every hour this afternoon on the show. You get a crack at that money this week and next. So plenty of chances remaining. You got up to 16 of them every weekday. Whitney Cummings is going to join me on the phone later on. More than 6, but fewer than 10 minutes with her. She is doing the 25th of April at the Agora. And those tickets are on sale, too. If you're a Whitney Cummings fan, we will catch up with her. Our friend Tom Papa has got a new hour dropping on Netflix today. It's probably already up there.
Yeah.
It's called You're Doing Great. And we'll talk to him tomorrow about what's up with him. He's always very busy. That Tom Papa, tell you what.
A lot of, you know, plates of spinning.
He's a hard worker. He's got a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah.
As it were.
A lot of irons in the fire.
Hey, if you listen to the show from outside of our immediate area here in the Buckeye State, on the iHeartRadio app, tell me where you do that. Dan listens in Burgettstown, PA. That's outside Pittsburgh. AJ is a brand new bureau chief in San Francisco who hit me up. Mike is out in New Philadelphia, Ohio. Speaking of Philadelphia, not New Philadelphia, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know, Gritty, the Flyers mascot, got in some hot water. So Gritty has gone from this is Philadelphia Flyers, if you're not a hockey fan. Gritty is a terrifying mascot.
Terrifyingly entertaining mascot.
Be that as it may. It's like an orange Babadook.
I like Gritty.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about this news.
I think people have come to really enjoy Gritty. But if you've never seen Gritty, you know, Google him. And it's positively demented that they came up with this thing, but consequently fantastic. But he got in a little bit of trouble. Because they said, the story was that he punched a kid during a photo shoot over the holidays, and you can't imagine that that would be the case. You can't imagine that
you can.
A professional sports mascot, I mean, those people are expected to be professional. Because all you're doing
deal
is
with anything.
Yeah, all you're doing is taking photos with people.
Yeah,
with
but kids little,
and
kids are little bastards.
This is a teenage kid. The one that like a 4-year-old.
Okay, teenagers are little bastards too.
Right, but that's why mascots. You have to have. They can't just put anybody in those costumes. Got to be somebody with a level head. Mm. I understand what you're saying.
It's hot in there.
Temperament. Yeah, but that's
my temperature
why
is high, that's, so my temperament
that's
is
that's why not everyone can do that job.
Right, and they actually are paid pretty well.
They should
six
be.
Figures.
Yeah. Yeah,
6 figures. I
yes.
know that.
Yeah,
professional mascots make like 120, 130 grand. Depending on the franchise you're working for, I imagine Gritty.
That's and they, a big one.
I think they try to keep them anonymous, too.
Yeah, that you have to. You don't have to, but yes, it's an unspoken rule.
I mean, well, we just spoke it.
But we're not part of the organization.
But, I mean, also, I think if you're in the Gritty costume, you don't want people knowing that you're Gritty.
No. You say, I work for the Philadelphia Flyers in the front office somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. They're like, oh, really? I want to come to the office and see you. Like, no, don't come by. No. At all.
Can't.
Well, local television in Philadelphia broke in. This was breaking news to announce that Gritty would not face assault charges for allegedly punching a kid in the back.
OJ and Gritty beaten cases.
What case did OJ beat?
Double homicide.
Oh, 30 years ago? Oh, I thought you meant currently. Gritty, in the year 2020.
I'll go with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, justice for Johnny.
Justice for Johnny, justice for Gritty.
Too. There you go.
This just in. Gritty, the mascot for the Flyers, will not be facing assault charges Police just made the announcement about the mascot. Gritty accused of punching that teenage boy during a photo session. But again, the breaking news, detectives now say Gritty's behavior did not constitute assault.
Look at that. Breaking news. That sounded like Mike Jarek, by the way.
Justice,
you know, Mike Jarek.
For Gritty.
Justice for Gritty.
Justice for Gritty.
Yeah.
That was that kid's name. I bet his name was like Devon or something.
Devon?
Yeah, no.
The kid's name was Punchy McPuncherson, I'll tell you from the jump.
Like Spencer.
Chris Greenwell
was the kid
who claimed that Gritty... No, I'm sorry. Chris Greenwell was the dad who claimed Gritty punched his son during a holiday photo shoot for season ticket holders. It would be... Now, listen, I don't have my ear to the ground on every single thing that happens, but I have never heard of anything like this being... you know, you never hear about Slider being accused of anything. Who are the other mascots?
We got Moondog.
Moondog is never... You never hear about any of the pierogies.
Sir Cece.
Yep.
What about the ketchup and mustards?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You'll hear the pierogies or the condiments pushing each other down.
Hot dogs, yeah.
That's all in good fun. But I've never heard of them being accused of punching a kid.
I saw a video of Minnie Mouse throwing hands on, like, the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, but those are always, like, unsanctioned ones.
I know, they're just trying
those
to...
Those are civilians dressed up.
Yeah, those are civilians dressed up. And, Disney always tries to shut that stuff down so hard. Like, you have to be, like, a little bit off. You can't be Minnie Mouse. You're just a big Lady Mouse.
You're Marty Mouse. Yeah. You're, like, off-brand Mickey Mouse.
Right.
The kind that you'll see in a parade. Or if you're in Times Square.
Yeah, like Elmo.
Or on Hollywood Boulevard in L.A. Mm-hmm. And you'll always hear stories about people, because those people are out there hustling for tips.
Mm-hmm.
So that is when you get punched. Gritty is making money, right? Professional. You're out there on Hollywood Boulevard. I think it was over the break. We were gone for the holidays. This guy who has played Superman on Hollywood Boulevard for 30 years. You know, these failed actors who go, all right, I'll go out there and I'll hustle for tips. This guy who was late 50s, early 60s, jet black hair, still walking around in the Superman outfit. He died of a heroin overdose.
Ooh.
So what the hell else are you going to do? None of
laced
your
with kryptonite.
None of your dreams have come
true. Don't worry about the fentanyl.
Right.
It's the kryptonite that'll get you.
Kryptonite will get you.
I wonder what would happen if Superman actually did heroin. Did they do any comics of that?
Superman do heroin?
Yeah.
I don't think it would have any effect on him.
They have some.
Only kryptonite, Bill. Only kryptonite is his kryptonite, as I understand it.
Just make them feel a little bit loopy, right?
I remember, you know, every so often you'll have a kid who will get into their dad or mom's stash and they'll get caught with some drugs at school and they'll go, this powder I found makes me feel like Superman. That's the closest we get. After their kindergartner brings cocaine in there, you know, because it's stamped with something. It's got SpongeBob on it. Forget about your kids watching J-Lo and Shakira. Worry about your kids being attracted to the little packet full of powder. It's got SpongeBob on it.
Yeah, don't get the SpongeBob one.
No! Get the Knight Rider.
Yeah.
That kid's
not
too
know what it's gonna
they don't
is.
Know what that is.
What's the A-Team? I don't know.
They go, what
I'm
is
a
that?
Little kid.
That's right.
It's before my time.
I got a bad attitude from that A-Team heroin. That's right. But no, I don't think that, you know, but if you're one of these unsanctioned mascots, if you're one of the 10 guys dressed up as Spider-Man on Hollywood Boulevard, I don't know how you make any money. Because people want a photo with you, they don't want to pay you.
But
that's why these guys get angry on the street. They're like, hey man, this is how I make my, you know.
Yeah, you have to pitch the game. You can't be like, hey, like you have to let them know going in, this costs money, because then they'll throw you at least something, usually like $5 or something. But you gotta let them know going in.
I'm happy to pay.
Or else you get the jerks that will not pay.
Yeah.
And then you get the fights.
I'm happy to pay. Because
but then
I'm going to
start
take
like a YouTube channel of Spider-Man beats up tourists and then monetize that on YouTube.
But also, I'm going to pay to take a photo with the most out of shape Spider-Man out there.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be a Spider-Man or a Superman with a pot belly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I want to take a photo with. So I will happily give you $5 for that photo.
Peter Porker.
I still haven't finished that. Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, no?
Still haven't finished it.
It's fun.
I've been trying to finish that thing for 2 months.
Jeez. You really do not have an attention span anymore.
It's not an attention span.
It's like
no
a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, where do I have 90 minutes to cobble
you
together? This week I do.
All weekend.
I'll finish it this week.
Finish it tonight.
I'll finish
watch
it tonight.
Watch the commercial breaks. I don't care.
By the end of the show
you can
today.
You watch it in the side studio with Pound Cake Will, instead of him watching Wendy Williams.
I don't always watch Wendy Williams.
No, he's usually watching The Breakfast Club.
Or morning, he's watching himself.
He's watching Joe. He's watching himself or Wendy Williams. Or Champagne the God, whatever, over there. Hey, Joe in Philly.
Joe, what up, guys?
You heard the good news.
Just another victory in the city of brotherly love.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Gritty, not going to face charges. Is there, because the city as a whole, I believe, has come around to Gritty, right? They now accept him as one of their own.
Oh, we love him. I mean, this is just a sign of the times. You have... You know, a young, hot, rising star as a mascot, and somebody wants to snatch his thunder just like that. Meanwhile,
do you think another mascot set it up? Do you think this was a whole thing by the Philly fanatic to try and bring Gritty down a few pegs?
Well, right. The thing is, like, you have people like the Philly fanatic. You have Mr. Ben out there actually assaulting people for years.
Yep.
Nobody says a word.
I feel like this is as simple as the dad trying to get some money out of the Flyers.
Oh, super weak move by the dad. Like, are you kidding me? And it's funny how the organization, like, were like, all right, let's go to bat. Let's fully investigate this. Like, he assaulted a woman or something like that in a back alley.
Sure.
And they completed the full investigation. They're like, oh, yeah, nothing happened. Get out of Kick Rocks, kid.
Of course.
Love it.
Yes. We've investigated Gritty. We can't tell you. Now, the plaintiff, or the defendant, rather, had to remain anonymous because, again, they don't want to... He's got a non-disclosure agreement there with the Flyers. And so, yeah, but good for Gritty. Whoever he is, good for him. It would be another black mark on the city of Philadelphia.
Just chalk up another win for the good guys.
I guess so, right? Wow. All right. So, but you're, there's, I trust there'll be a parade or something.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Of course. He's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Bill Clement is going to announce it, and Ed Van Impey will be there.
Get the Shriners out there.
Yeah, get the Shriners. Get a bunch of, you know, have everybody have Gritty and a Fez. What's the matter with that?
All right, be safe, guys.
All right, thank you. He's bailing out. He's like,
he's
I don't want to
plan a parade.
That's right. I got to go bid on that autographed Jeremy Roenick. I heard from one of our bureau chiefs in Charlotte. We haven't heard from Donnie in a long time, by the way.
It's been since, I think,
before
December,
the holiday.
Right?
Well, before the holiday.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay. But I heard from one of our bureau chiefs in Charlotte a story of this woman, 54 years old. She's a Charlotte resident. Her car broke down on the highway in South Carolina. And she went to change her tire. She was in the breakdown lane. And she was replaced.
Breakdown lane?
Yeah, on I-95. That's a big, long highway that traverses multiple states.
Gotcha.
So she's in the breakdown lane. And she's replacing the tire when the jack slipped.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
And the car crushed both of her hands between the tire and the fender.
Oh.
So her hands were crushed and trapped. She spent a half an hour trying to get her shoe off so she could dial 911 with her toes.
Man, where was she? Nobody saw this?
So imagine you're on the side of the highway, hands crushed, right? Oh. In the car there. And the cops got there in like 8 minutes, or EMT, or fire rescue, or whatever. But she had to dial 911 with her toes.
That's amazing.
They had to get a hydraulic spreader to get her hands out.
I wonder if I can do that. I'm going to try and dial 911 with my toes.
See, this is why you don't ever change a tire.
All right, wait. First of all, I'm just thinking about getting my phone unlocked. All right. Phone is down.
Shoes off.
All right. Shoe off.
Dial 411.
I'm just going to see if I can get the app open. All right.
But you gotta get your sock off, though, right?
I know. I'm trying to get it off. I gotta take my other shoe off just to get the sock off. All right, hold on. This is hard.
Yeah, it took her half an hour.
I know. Yeah.
She's in excruciating pain, you gotta figure. And then she's gotta get her sock off.
Yeah. I'm going to cheat a little bit.
Just how are you going to cheat? Bill, your hands are crushed. You can't do anything with your hands.
I pulled my sock down a little bit to get it. Okay. Sock is off.
All right. Your phone is... you got to make sure your phone's face up?
Yeah. I got to try and get it to unlock from here.
No, what do you put in your key? This is when it's probably better to have like a PIN number rather than one of these.
I have a PIN
number. To have your face ID in there.
But I also have large toes.
Okay. That's a help or a hindrance?
Okay.
All right. You think that big toes are a help or a hindrance?
It's a hindrance. I'm also not very... All right, on.
Did you get it?
Nope. I gotta try and face ID it.
Nothing?
I'm gonna end up locking my phone forever.
See, if your hands are ever crushed...
Yeah, you're underneath the car, so you don't have the correct, like...
This is really hard.
And this is with every advantage. We're just kind of simulating this.
So yeah, good for her for being able to do this.
If you have a PIN code or a lock, then you're screwed.
I'm screwed right now. I can't even get it unlocked.
Because you're not going to be in the correct position as to, like, you know, do the face lock thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how she got her phone
out.
Or I'm fascinated by this story.
Maybe she had it next to her, or maybe she was using it as, like, a flashlight to see. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Hey, Siri! Hey, Siri! Siri! Yeah, call the... No, never mind. Okay, it worked. I'll just do that instead.
Uh-huh.
There. But imagine cars, like, zooming past you.
Okay, good. Just shut up now. Go away.
Ow!
That's the key.
Sounds like she's having an orgasm rather than having her hands chopped off.
They weren't chopped off. They were crushed.
They're
pinned. Same difference.
They had to take a... No, it's not the same difference.
It's not the same
difference. But imagine she get those hands out and they're just mad. They took her to a trauma center. They're like, we don't know if she's going to be able to use her hands.
How could you want to watch trauma after that?
How did she...
She said, I love the Toxic Avenger.
How did she not pass out? I feel like if I were to feel something like that or see something like that, like... I just wouldn't be able to take it. Like, you pull my hands out, and then they're just, like, little... They're, like, dangling there. Ah! I would black out.
They had to use a hydraulic spreader because they tried to use a pry bar, but then they deflated the tire to get the air out, but then the car dropped as the tire deflated.
Oh, my God. Ooh. That's even worse.
They were only able to free one hand, and so they had to get another piece of equipment to free her other hand.
Jesus.
God, I wish there were photos of this. I was looking all over this morning for the 911 call.
Please.
They don't release those immediately.
No, it'll take a few days.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Ugh. Severe damage to both hands. Oh. Yeah, so let me ask you that, Poundcake. If you had severe damage to your hands, right, which you, listen, any one of us use our hands a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Severe damage to your hands. You're not going to be able to do all the fun stuff you've been doing.
I know.
What do you do? What do you do?
You're saying, like, a matter of, like, life or death? Like, I don't know what you mean.
What do you do? How do you react to it?
Curl up in a ball and cry? Like, forever?
Curl up in a ball and cry forever.
Oh, man. We're living in the golden age of prosthetics. Give me the robot hands right now.
You call Boston Dynamics.
I need robot hands. I don't want just regular fingers either. I want a blender. I want a knife hand. I need a corkscrew.
I want to be able to puree with my hands. I want to be able to do all the fun stuff I couldn't do before.
I want the fun attachments. I don't just want fingers.
Right.
Like a loser person. I'm a cyborg now.
You're going to rock that gazebo.
Yeah.
The next time you were in there.
Yeah, give me a vibrator finger.
Give me something that buzzes.
Mm-hmm. I'd sob.
Not if you had a buzzing hand, you wouldn't.
I'd sob because my sob landed on me.
Oh, I see what he's doing.
You don't have a sob.
I did. I would if I was in a situation like that. This is my hypothetical scenario.
Be moaning over his Mulan.
Moaning over my Mulan. Leave
me alone. If it was your Mercury Mulan that cut your hands off?
It's highly possible, so I just...
It's possible that your car will cut your hands off?
Do you know how to change a tire?
Nope.
You don't?
He just said this is why you never should learn how to change a tire.
Yeah, I just call AAA.
It's so easy.
That is an option, sure.
You just got to know how to put the...
I don't know how to change.
You got to make sure you're on a flat surface, and you put the thing in the right spot and you're fine. Good Jack.
You know what, frankly? I don't want him out there changing tires.
I think he'd
lose it. It would roll into the roadway. Somebody else would crash.
That's what I'm saying. I don't trust myself. I don't know how to change oil.
Yeah. These are things that you should know how to do, but at this point in your life, if you have the option to have someone else do it for you, you should do it.
I barely know how to pump gas.
You barely what?
I barely know how to pump gas.
What do you mean barely? You either do or you don't.
I barely know how to pump
gas. Take the thing out and put it in your car.
Well,
I barely know how to pump gas.
It's a little too binary for him. He's like, where's the other nozzle?
Well, I was real pissed off because I always get confused at the end.
Used it two nozzles. Wait a second. Oh, this goes into the car. Oh, I see. That makes sense to me. Does not compute. So you do know how to pump gas?
I do, but sometimes I get confused.
Yeah, I understand.
Like, when there's like a stand that has like two pumps, I'll like press, you know, the unleaded, like the 87, and then I'll grab the diesel by accident. I'm like pumping. I'm like, why isn't this going? And I just start, I'm like, this is wrong.
Poundcake's a two-pump chump is what he's trying
to
say.
That's what he's saying, yeah.
And then I go into the clerk. I'm like, hey, man, like I press 87 and it's not working. And he's like, says you didn't pump anything. I was like, it's a lie. And he's like,
it's a lie. He's arguing with. He says, hey, man, I'm just back from Suffragette City.
Fake news.
And then he's like, what pump did you grab? I was like, the green one. He was like, yes, that's diesel, sir.
Yeah, that's diesel, sir. That's like, why it's separated from, it says diesel in big letters.
Yes, but 87 was closer to the diesel nozzle. So I was like, oh.
My God.
Yeah, but it's like sectioned off, color coordinated.
Well, I didn't think about it because I'm stupid. So I grabbed the wrong one.
243. Please grab that.
He has no situational awareness, is what he's trying to say, which is why I don't want him out there changing tires. Hello.
Alan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Woody. How you doing, brother?
Good. What's
up, Woody?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about getting your hands trapped between the tire and the wheel well, the fender itself.
Yep.
While changing a tire, I just can't visualize it.
I can't either. I read the story five times, and I could not for the life of me envision what happened here. But I would love to see a photo, or I have no clue.
You really would? You would like to see a photo of that?
Absolutely. She's got her foot, her shoes off, trying to dial her phone. I am endlessly fascinated with this story. It's got everything.
Picture, though? Who's taking the picture?
No.
Accidentally taken one.
That's what I'm saying. In all of her efforts to get her phone on, she probably took a bunch of terrifying selfies. Those are what I want to see.
But I just don't understand the mechanics of it all because, you know, if the jack fails, you know, and the tire is still on the hub of the axle, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what she did.
The car's not going to come down between the tire and the fender, right?
I mean, don't you loosen the lugs before you jack it up anyway?
Yeah.
So
when I jack it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to go, Woody. Thank you, brother. See, Incubus is coming. I like those guys. With 311, they announced the show at Blossom. And Bad Flower. We play them a lot on MMS.
I like Bad Flower.
Incubus 311 Bad Flower is going to go down August 26th. I imagine we'll have some tickets to give to you soon. Those tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock. It cannot be a coincidence that this press release was dropped on National Hemp Day, which is today. You think it was coincidental?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I don't think anybody knows it's National Hemp Day.
Now you do.
Mm.
You're welcome.
I already forgot.
Hot. Bill, it's National Hemp Day.
Cool.
You know, they're
Any
trying
bands
to get...
announce anything?
Yeah, Incubus did. They're going out with 311.
Sweet.
And I have to
What day is today?
I have to think this can't be a coincidence because it's National Hemp Day.
Nice.
Yeah. February the 4th is National Hemp Day. And you know what else I found out? Incubus is playing Blossom in August with 311 and Bad Flower.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's cool. Be a good show.
I think so. August 26th. You know what else I found out? Blossom's in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Nice.
Yep.
Threw a little curveball there.
Yep.
I like it.
You're going to get lawn seats?
So, huh?
Are you going to get lawn seats?
You mean out there on the green pound cake?
Sure.
Is that what you mean?
Sure.
You know why I said that?
Why?
Did you know today's National Hemp Day?
Like weed?
But tomorrow's Hump Day.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Hemp Day.
Is it National Hump Day?
Yeah. When's tomorrow's National Hump Day. Wednesday is traditionally National Hump Day. Today's National Hemp Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's probably why I've got some breaking news for you.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Alan Cox Show! Exclusive news update!
Incubus is coming with 311 and special guest Bad Flower.
Bad Baby.
Oh. To Bahad Baflower. Now, that would be great. Incubus 311. See, I would like to see more. Obviously, I understand why bands tour with similar bands because you want to get like-minded artists together and then you draw those crowds. But I would. That's the beauty of festivals. Because you have so many bands, and they can really go in a bunch of different directions. It's not like a metal festival or something, but I mean, like, if you go to something like Gwen and I used to go to Austin City Limits every year, and you'll have all kinds of different artists. So if they had Incubus with 311 and Bahad Bahabi...
Where's she? Like, why are...
She's taking care of business, TCB.
I was saying, major artists should, like, book her as like her their opening act. I would totally go see a concert.
Maroon 5 and Bahad Bahabi.
Yeah, if she was attached to like a major ticket, I would totally go.
Yeah. Well, I don't, maybe she's out there. I have a feeling that people might be opening for her. Maybe Billie Eilish and Bahad Bahabi.
Oh, that would be a killer tour.
Right? As the kids say, that would be lit.
Yeah.
That would be a killer tour. Yeah, I would totally do that.
So anyway, if you're just joining us, Incubus is playing Blossom in August with 311. And today is National Hemp Day.
That wasn't the band announcement that I was most excited about today.
Oh, Coheed's going out.
Coheed's going out.
Yeah, they're coming here?
Mm-hmm. Agora, September 8th, and they're playing
my birthday.
Two albums all the way through.
So it's going to be like a five-hour show.
Hopefully.
They're
going to
play two albums all the way through?
Yeah.
So I'm mildly familiar with Coheed. I know you're a diehard fan. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Are there albums... fewer songs, but the songs are longer? Or...
Their songs...
Am I imagining that they have really long songs?
An hour long each.
An hour long?
Yeah.
Okay, is that long these days for an album?
I feel like it's... I feel like that's pretty average.
Okay.
So, I mean, you get two albums that are around... I'm not sure the exact runtime of both albums, but for the fans, that's what we want.
What are the albums that they'll be performing?
Good Apollo Burning.
Okay.
And then No World for Tomorrow.
Good Apollo Burning.
Yeah.
I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 1, From Fear Through the Eyes. Give me a break!
Yeah, that's why I didn't know it all.
Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 1, From Fear Through the Eyes of Madness.
That's a lot of words.
I was just reminded why I hate these guys.
Yeah,
I actually like that Welcome Home song, but that's the
only...
It's
a great song. It's a good album, but I don't like that. I agree with you. The names, it could be a little shorter. Could be a little shorter.
And what's the other album?
No World for Tomorrow. That one's
No
nice and
World
short.
For Tomorrow.
That's a great album. I think it's a very underrated album, by the way.
Okay. Well, I don't know how long they are. See a couple of six-minute songs here. So that's Volume 2 of Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4.
Yeah, but the volumes don't actually mean anything, really.
Well, then why they call him that?
I don't know, man. He's an artist.
You're the big
creative.
Volume 4. They'll play one album from Coheed and one from Cambria? Is that how it works?
I guess so, yeah.
All right.
It's like right Twix, left Twix. which one's your favorite?
Right.
We don't talk to those Cambria people.
Did they start actually putting Twixes in separate bags?
I know they sell them in singles. I don't know if it's like this is left Twix only or right Twix only. I don't know.
So Volume 1 is an hour and 12 minutes long, and Volume 2 is an hour long. Now, you figure in some between-song banter, and you've probably got a two-and-a-half-hour set.
Cool. It's halfway to where I want it to be. Give me the 5 hours.
Now, they're not going to be playing anything from In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3.
I already saw them play that one all the way through.
All right.
That was at the House of Blues.
All the way through?
And, yeah, they played that album all the way through.
All right.
And it was pretty sweet. It's pretty great. It's actually my favorite concert I've ever been to.
Is Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah. When they played In Keeping Secrets.
Now, are you a guy, when you're excited at a show, are you a guy who's yelling the lyrics? Are you fist pumping? Or are you as... kind of a flat line as you might be otherwise.
Oh, I'm very into it.
You're very into it.
Yeah, very, very into it. Feeling it. Having a good time. Having fun. Singing along. Screaming. Clapping.
Okay. So when they're doing the running free, you're out there, you're running free. You're pumping your fist and you're going home.
I don't think I know one Coheed and Cambria song.
Well, if you don't, I don't know what to tell you.
You probably don't like them.
You probably don't.
Yeah, you probably don't like them.
I can't imagine you'd like them.
Not your cup of tea.
No.
You don't know what my cup of tea is. I like some punk bands. I can get jiggy to this.
What punk bands do you like? You said your favorite punk band was Panic at the Disco.
I like My Chemical Romance.
That's not a punk band.
Yeah, this isn't a punk band either.
I like Hailstorm.
Hail...
And Paramore.
Those are not punk bands.
Evanescence?
Get closer.
No, you're not. Well, I'll tell you this. Here's what I didn't know. That album had Taylor Hawkins on the drums.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's cool. It's the only album to have him on the drums after their drummer left.
Hmm.
Okay, so Coheed's coming. Now, it can't be... A coincidence that they announced Coheed and Cambria coming on National Hemp Day, Bill. Did you? Oh, you already heard?
I heard. It's
oh
National
boy,
Hemp Day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Coheed and Cambria's like, we're announcing today because it's National Hemp Day.
National Hemp Day. By the way, everyone calling bull shrimp on Pound Cake Story because diesel nozzles don't fit into cars' gas tanks.
I'm being told that they're only going to do No World for Tomorrow on this tour, so I'm fine with that because I really like that album a lot.
But I just told you guys I didn't pump any gas.
Yeah, but you said that you went in to complain because the nozzle didn't fit.
No, I didn't. I had a brain fart. I put it in there and I'm like, didn't fit. And I put it back on the wherever you stick the gas tank. Went back in. I'm like, hey, like something's wrong. My pump is not pumping. It didn't even dawn on me that it didn't even fit. It didn't even cross my mind. I was looking at my phone and he's like, well, sir, nothing was pumped. And I was like, oh. He's like, yeah, it was diesel.
Well, and I got to give it to Poundcake, too, because in his mind, he looks at a nozzle, and he always thinks, I'll make that fit.
Well, no, 87...
He goes, that'll fit wherever I decide to put it. And so, the...
Because you can line it up.
The degree to which he feels successful in his personal life, he goes, I'll make this happen. I got a nozzle, and I'll make that fit anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you can line it up however you want, and I just was looking at my phone... And I'm one of those people that don't...
You look at your phone when you're pumping gas?
Yeah.
You know the static electricity from... the sign says...
Debunked.
Is it?
Yeah.
Static electricity is...
Really? We have fires every day.
I've never heard that. Okay.
I've never heard that rumor.
They did it on Mythbusters a billion years ago. But it doesn't happen. It's super rare if it does
happen.
But
I'm saying... Okay. And maybe not likely. I'm saying that the physics of it is sound.
Not really.
Really?
It would take so much, like, gas vapor to be in the air.
Okay.
For there to be enough
what if somebody
to start a spark.
People spill gas all the time.
People do it all the time. So the amount that you would need in the air, they box in a gas pump on Mythbusters, and it still took... A ton of gas. You're already dead from the fumes.
I see people talking on the phone all the time at the gas tank.
I don't like it. I mean, I've never heard that ever. You can't handle not being on your goddamn phone while you're pumping gas.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I could. I just didn't.
And not just you. Whoever does that.
But I'm not one of those people.
You can't leave your phone in the car. Because when it's this time of year, you put the nozzle in and you get back in your car sit there.
I'm not one of those people.
That's actually more dangerous.
That's my problem.
How is that more dangerous?
Because you could have an overflow and it could spill. You're supposed to stay at...
No, it won't.
No, the thing...
It stops.
Thanks a lot, dumb.
Oh, I was going to say... I told you I'm dumb, but like I was just saying...
He can't even figure out how you spell diesel so that he doesn't put the...
If that device fails, you're supposed to have a human there. That's the same reason you're not supposed to leave the pump unattended.
Well, I don't. I'm one of those people that doesn't believe in leaving the pump unattended, especially when I pay.
Do you believe in it? Is it like a first date question? So, do you believe in leaving the pump unattended?
No, I just got really good at getting exactly how much I want, so I don't want to leave it sitting there while I'm sitting in the car or whatever, and then come back and it's over. You know the amount that I need.
You don't just fill up.
Oh no! Oh hell no! I put in exactly like $10 to $15 every single time. I can't remember the last time I put my tank actually like on full.
Yeah, you put in how much money you want to spend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I gotcha.
So I just hold that.
No, I don't do that.
And when
fill it up.
And yeah, I mean, if I go inside the store, then obviously I don't have to worry about that. But this particular time I didn't. And that's why that guy looked at me like I was stupid, which I was, because once again, lined up the pump, looked at my phone. I'm like, come on. Like, I thought the thing was going. I'm like, I don't hear anything. The numbers aren't going. And the thing is just sitting there glowing. So I hit 87 again. Still got the pump out. Looking at my phone again. And then I was like, hey, there's something wrong with this pump. And it didn't even dawn on me that I grabbed the green one instead of the black one. And yeah, no, the hole did not fit, but it fit inside.
It fit inside. The hole didn't fit.
It fit inside the little capsule of where my gas tank was. So I was like, oh, okay, well.
I've never heard of a grown person having so much difficulty pumping gas.
That it was one time.
I've never heard a single story with that many details about pumping gas.
It was one time, but it wasn't the first time.
It was the first time.
No. It wasn't the first time you pumped gas.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you figured out how to pump gas a lot of times.
Once again, like I said, there's no excuse. I'm a grown-ass man. I can't even make an excuse.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it alone.
Alan Poundcake calling out Hailstorm and Evanescence as punk bands just ruined my day.
You hate the misery?
Please tell him I hate his guts for probably the next hour or so.
Why don't you make some more punk bands for us?
Name me some more punk bands. And I'm not even going OK Boomer here on you, because you're young.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people younger than you who know punk. And yes, punk is an aesthetic. You could say public. Mm-hmm. Chuck D always said Public Enemy was punk, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is, in common parlance, when asked the question, what's your favorite punk band, not one person would ever say Evanescence.
Yeah, they would say Simple Plan, right?
If they were of a certain age, sure. If you go back to the origins of punk music, who would people be listening to?
Slipknot?
This is... Right. Well, it's heavy. Okay. So basically, white bands to you are all punk, is what you're saying. Okay. Those are metal bands. I mean, there are bits of crossover. I'm just curious how you arrived at Hailstorm and Evanescence in general.
Oh, that's very funny to me.
I don't know. I mean, they're really loud. They have a lot of drums and instruments and...
Right, but
a lot of drums and instruments.
But also, Slipknot is a band where all of the people are very accomplished musicians. Punk rock never prided itself on people actually being able to play that well. It's just more of a vibe.
You should play a punk rock song. Let's do a test. Play a few different songs, and he can tell us whether it's punk or not.
But how's he going to know?
I want to
see what my taste up.
We'll do this. Was. We'll put this together in a break.
I know what your taste is.
But what he thinks would be punk might not even. I don't think he knows what punk actually is.
Well, again, everybody's got their own definition.
Can you go back to the most standard.
Yeah,
Avenged
Sevenfold.
Do you know anything before, let's say, the year 2000?
Jonas Brothers!
Before the year 2000?
He's trolling us.
That was the year 3000.
He's trolling us.
Well, here the kids are all hopped up and ready to go. They're ready to go now.
And see, this is why... I'll tell you what, though, he's not far off because, you know, for all of the accolades Ramones got for really starting a musical revolution, it was very kind of 50s inspired.
Yeah.
You say Beach Boys?
He said Beach Boys.
Ramones.
Ramon Rivas?
This guy on the show over the years. Once across the pond. You know who this is?
Not at all.
Take a guess.
He may have never even heard of this band.
I'm sure he's heard of them.
I don't think so.
You heard of Johnny Rotten?
Nah.
Huh.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, John Lydon. He's been on this show many times over the years. You don't like this?
I just never heard it before. This is what you guys call punk music?
This is punk music.
Everyone called punk music.
Okay,
the Sex Pistols. I'm too young to be a boomer, for one. You've heard of the Sex Pistols, though, haven't you?
No.
You ever heard of the Dead Kennedys?
No. I know there are some.
Have
dead
you heard
babies.
Of Green Day?
Of course.
See, if you had even mentioned Green Day, I'd go, okay.
Yeah, I like Green Day. On holiday.
What about Black Flag? Have you ever heard of Black Flag?
Take out the L and yes, but no.
Okay.
Back Flag?
Back Flag? What does that mean? He's saying people have called him a back flag before, Bill. They've hurled that epithet out their car window as they saw him. Hey, that diesel pump doesn't go in there, back flag.
Shut up, I'm on my phone, I'm texting.
Yeah. What about the Bad Brains? You familiar with them?
I have one, but no.
Hi-oh.
No, I've never heard of them.
What about the... Who was the band in Cleveland? The Dead Boys?
Yeah.
It was the punk band in Cleveland back in the day.
Are the Black Keys punk?
No.
Okay. They're just a band?
I think you could make a case for them kind of having their roots maybe. In some of that stuff.
Yeah. I thought the Roots was a whole different band.
I'm just visualizing all the people screaming at the radios right now. And
he works on a rock station. It. How does he not now?
Well, this is a talk show. It doesn't matter what station we're on.
To them, it matters.
What about... Well, that's on them, not on you.
Yeah, we don't play this stuff either, though.
What about... I'm trying to think of some contemporary... I mean, Rancid? You know Rancid?
I have heard of Rancid. I don't know their music, though.
Ruby Soho, or...
Ruby Soho?
They're still flying the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Social D?
Destruction?
Social Distortion.
Oh. No, I don't know these guys.
I mean, the MC5, they were nominated to get into the Rock Hall, and they got passed over. Well, anyway, but we're not going to rely on Poundcake.
No.
I'm just curious. Again, I don't need him to be an encyclopedia. I'm just always curious.
How I survived this.
No. I'm curious the bands you name check. I'm curious how you arrive at Evanescence.
I had a Hot Topic stage. That was all I
listened
to.
That's not a Hot Topic
band.
It is. Evanescence?
Yes, it is.
They had hoodies there.
Amy Lee, like, I used to be obsessed with her. Her and
her dad was my boss when I first started in radio.
The girl from Paramore, like, all of.
Haley?
Yep.
Mm. All right, I've got a break here. It's another installment of Poundcake Doesn't Know Shrimp about music. And I'm sure we'll play it again sometime, very soon.
Never gets old.
Have you ever heard of Incubus?
Yes.
Did you know that they're playing Blossom with 311?
Oh, my God.
Alan Cox. His parents think he's a proctologist.
He has a real job.
Because the truth is just too disgusting. 100.7 WMMS.
Alan, when Poundcake said Slipknot was a great punk band, I think I pulled my groin.
Not great punk band. They started punk.
I was getting out from under the car, and I started laughing while I was standing up, this person said. Yeah.
Oh,
right, they started, yeah, what's an early punk band? And mm-hmm. Poundcake's answer was Slipknot. Right. Listen. God bless him. Good for him. That must be how older listeners felt when I was starting in radio. When I got my first,
I was,
everything, I'm the oldest of four. So anything I knew about classic rock was from friends of mine with older siblings, right? And working classic rock radio. I was not a kid who was growing up listening to Cream, Clapton, that kind of stuff. I was listening to heavy metal. I was listening to Motorhead and Maiden and Judas Priest. So friends of mine who had older siblings knew about Zeppelin, Sabbath, that kind of stuff. I was not listening to those things. So when I was 25 and working classic rock radio, and older listeners would call me with some obscure request, hey, play some Rocky Erickson. I'd go, who the hell is that? They would get so pissed off. And now I understand why. Because I was some punk on the phone going, I don't know who you're talking about. And I'm working at a classic rock radio station.
That's still pretty different than just, you at least understood the genre.
I did, yes. Yes, I knew who Led Zeppelin were.
Yeah.
I knew who, I was familiar with Pink Floyd, and mm-hmm. yeah. But I learned so much more working that format. And now I find, even though a lot of that music predated me age-wise, I find that music very comforting now. as I get older. But I also find the stuff that I grew up listening to comforting, too.
Yeah, it's almost like when you're familiar with something, it's more comforting.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that has something to
really?
Do with it.
Yeah. Like comfort food? Mm-hmm. So when you eat comfort food, you don't eat something for the very first time?
Right.
You
know, I want some comfort food. Where's that Iranian restaurant? Never been there before.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but then that might become your favorite,
That's the beauty of trying new things, Alan.
Oh,
getting
my
out
God.
Of your comfort zone.
That's right. You go,
giving things a chance.
What's your favorite comfort food? I always say dolma. Go get me some dolma. It's delicious. Greek food.
It's a punk rock food.
Yeah, punk rock food.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Alan, I wrote it down. Incubus, Blossom, August. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
What day did they announce it on?
National Hemp Day, Bill.
All right.
Can you believe it?
Sitting in the green.
There is a dog that has gone viral today because it sounds like he's saying blah, blah, blah. So anytime somebody tries to talk to him, he goes blah, blah, blah. You're never going to win an argument with this dumb dog.
He's going to take you serious.
That would be so annoying. Who does he think he is, me?
It's like he's mocking you. Yeah. This animal's mocking you.
Most animals are cute, but that would be like, I want to punch you in the face.
Granted, you're not trying to change this dog's opinion on anything.
Right, you're trying to, you're like telling the dog, you're like, listen, the Iowa caucuses were rigged. The dog just like, raw, raw, raw,
raw. Want dry food or wet food?
Say hello?
They're trying to screw Bernie Sanders. He's the clear winner. Listen, I'm telling you the truth here.
The liberal establishment doesn't want him gaining any traction. Amy Klobuchar is not getting enough attention. This is why they don't let dogs vote.
Oh, I would be so annoying. Shut up. Imagine if you heard that like at night when like something goes bump outside and the dog goes nuts and that's what it sounds like. Shut up, Spike.
Oh, Spike man. The dog.
What I'm hearing when I'm getting into like sexy time and stuff like that is very important to me. Like I could not hear that in the background and be able to continue and perform.
The dog was just going, blah, blah,
I
blah,
hooked up
blah.
With a girl years ago, and she had a dog that was in her, like, in a separate room in a cage, and it was just whining and whining.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I gotta go. This is too... It's like something's being tortured.
Yeah, it's a boner killer.
Yeah, and I can't do it.
I felt awkward when I had dogs watch me before. That was real weird.
I like when they watch.
No. Ugh.
Oh, God, I remember years ago, I went home with this girl... And, like, met her that night or whatever. Had some drinks or whatever. And we go back to her place, and she has this giant German shepherd in a cage or in a crate. Yeah, it was a cage. Mm-hmm. It was like, a, you know. And she's like, oh, he's really, you know, he's really hyper or whatever. And I was like, okay. And she let him out. And he's kind of running around in the front room. And we go into her bedroom. Starting to get down to business, and she shut the bedroom door so the dog could run around in the other room, wouldn't be cooped up while she had been out. And the dog
Oh, go ahead.
No. And the dog, she didn't close the door all the way, and the dog comes bounding. I'm buck naked, and this dog comes bounding onto the bed. Like, scratch my sack, this dog. Kicked it, like, off the bed.
Oh.
I'm like, you gotta get this dog out of here. What is going on?
Yeah, no.
Literally, I'd known this girl for, like, half an hour, so it wasn't like I could goof around with her about the dog.
Oh, that's like, oh, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Yeah, no.
I was hooking up with this other girl, and she had a dog, and it was on the bed with us, and it was humping a pillow.
No.
I'm like... That's Are gross. You aware of what's going on here? And she's like, yeah, it's kind of what he does. I'm like, how often is this happening, first of all? Second, why are you okay with it?
It's kind of what he does.
It's called training. Like, yeah. It's not... It's very strange to me. I can't continue.
She's like, he'll be done when he finishes.
Yeah, I don't want
on
that.
The pillow.
Mm-hmm. I've never had that happen. Like all the dogs
was
that
so,
that
so
have
off-putting.
Watched, they have been well behaved, but I just think they're judging me, and I don't like it.
I'll take the judging over the humping
I'm
of the pillow
fine
next
with...
to me, where I'm like, hey, slow down.
Well, no, the dog's like this, and then all of a sudden it does a little head turn, like.
Yes, I'm fine with silent judging. Mm-mm, that's fine, as long as the dog is not bounding across the room.
Listen, Spike, put
to
your
scratch
back in your
my
mouth.
Testicles. Mm-hmm. Did not need that.
We're trying to mimic you with a pillow.
Your stroke ain't weak, cuz. The dog can do it better. The things we find amusing.
Okay.
It sounds like they're running a tape of a dog at half speed.
Yeah.
The very beginning of this clip. And I had a one-night stand one time, and her Jack Russell licked my hole. So I definitely called the dog back for round two. I mean, that's not the worst. It would be a little disconcerting. That's not the worst thing that could happen to me. Alan, I was banging a girl one time and turned the light on, and she was a dog.
You're the dog, homie.
Right. Alan, my ex's dog would poop on the floor every time we did it because he thought she was being attacked. Yeah, that's the other thing,
nice
too.
Nice defense, dog.
I mean, you just poops. Yeah, it doesn't attack you. It doesn't try to save her.
Mm-hmm.
It freaks out and poops on
the
carpet.
Dumps on the floor, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, like, listen, I don't know your dog or what it's about or, you know, but keep it in the other room and make sure that door is shut. Because I just met you. You know your dog. I don't know your dog.
And if your dog's loud.
What about cats?
And cats
any
are terrible
animal,
too. Yeah,
any
they're all terrible.
Animal.
They're all terrible when you're doing it and they're a distraction.
Definitely don't have a parakeet.
If they're just laying there on the floor and they're not paying attention, then it's great. It's fine. Don't care about it. But if they are watching or making noises or trying to get in on it, no good.
I don't want anything that can mimic.
No, I don't need anything that I need to be, that's drawing my focus away from what I'm doing. Like, in my periphery, I don't need to see an animal, you know, a cat.
Look at its beehole.
Well, I don't even care about that, but it's like, if it's, I was dated a girl years ago who had two or three cats. I would stay over and wake up and it would be like on my face. I'm like, I gotta get out of this. Like, I can't, you know. But, or you'd be in the middle of something and out of your periphery, you'd see the cat up on the dresser. And you're like, okay, is it getting ready to jump? It's just all distracting. I'm like, I can't maintain my focus here with this animal. I don't care if it's staring me down. I care about that. I'm not pea shy.
It's not great, but it's not as bad as it...
It's not as bad as it physically scuttling around.
Yeah, or scuttling around, yeah. Ugh. Annoying.
I don't know. And by the way, we completely blew past Punxsutawney Phil. In all of the hullabaloo over the Super Bowl on Sunday, I didn't even pay attention to Punxsutawney Phil. I don't even know. Mary was completely ignorant to the situation out there at Gobbler's Knob. We went years ago, when I was on the air in Pittsburgh, we went years ago out there, and it used to be a huge deal. Like, all the Penn State kids would come out.
Still pretty big deal, right?
Well, that's my question. I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to it. It was like goddamn Bonnaroo back in the day. I assume it's probably still along those lines. They also noted that the date of Groundhog Day this year is a palindrome. You know what a palindrome is, Cody? He's on the phone.
Is he?
Do you think that he knows what a palindrome is?
I don't think he does. My guess would be he does not know
he does
what a palindrome
not.
Is.
Okay. Well, the date, 02/02/2020, is palindrome.
What kind of psycho writes the zero before the two if you're not on a computer?
Well, I think for the purposes of making the palindrome thing work.
Yes, exactly.
They
That's
came
why
out
I don't,
with this.
I don't buy it.
You don't think so? Well,
yeah,
but the
count.
Date is the date.
The date is the date if you're using that format.
It has to be 2020 is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, my forecast on a day that's a palindrome will cause some to cheer...
and some to moan. So do I hope you think it's neighborly, for there is no shadow of me. Spring, it'll be early. It's a certainty.
You know what a palindrome is, Cody?
I do not.
Okay.
Is it like a drone that...
Palindrome.
Oh.
You know what a palindrome is?
Mm-mm.
Never covered that in English?
I barely covered English.
It. Yeah, they covered it.
I barely covered English in English. But yeah.
All right.
Never heard of it. What is
it? Well, it means that it reads the same forward as backwards. It can be a sentence. It can be a word.
Like Hannah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. A name, Hannah. Yeah, that would be H-A-N-N-A-H.
Race car.
Okay, yep. Okay, I know that one.
There
yeah,
you go.
I guess mom, I must have forgot dad. The name. Mom, dad. Oh, I didn't know mom and dad was. Wow, that mind blown. Oh, my God, I didn't know that. All these years, I just knew mom was just one word, one way.
I mean, it's very, very short, mm-hmm. but yeah. Gag.
So, right. Mother and father? Oh, no, okay, that doesn't work.
No, mom and dad.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's more fun when it's longer than three letters.
I'm going to be creative and put mom in my phone backwards. What? And so when she calls me, it's going to say, Mom!
Like sentences, right? I remember, you remember, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Yes.
That's a palindrome.
Palindrome.
Or, Madam in Eden, I'm Adam. Right? Adam and Eve?
And just great, great sentences.
Oh, I'll tell you what. You use them all the time is the best part.
You don't even think about it.
Oh, come on.
I like that you were blown away by mom being a palindrome and not anything else.
Not only that, seconds after he learned what it was, yeah. we blew his mind with mom and dad.
I didn't know that was one. I never thought about that. I was reading it just one way my entire life. I didn't know if I flipped it backwards, it would still be mom. That's amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
Yes.
Is there like some app on your phone where you could like turn stuff backwards? And
I'm sure there is. You know, like doing your civic duty, right? Civic is a palindromic word. C-I-V-I-C, right?
101 backwards is still 101?
He's only impressed.
He is amazed. He's amazed.
Wow.
Right?
303? 505?
Right.
606?
Yes. When I was in high school, we played in a band called Lonely Tylenol. Which we thought was hilarious because it was a palindrome, but then we were worried that we were going to get
sued by Tylenol.
By whoever runs Tylenol. Yeah.
Or some lonely person.
Or a lonely person.
Advil.
Right. Because you can't make a palindrome out of Advil.
What's some more?
Well, there's a lot. There's sentences, there's words, right?
It's really opening his eyes to this whole new world of three-letter palindromes.
How about, no, Mel Gibson is a casino's big lemon.
What? Kayak!
What? Yeah, no. Kayak. Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
Boy, this better be about palindromes, since Poundcake is fascinated by...
It's a story about... It's a dog story, so I'm a little behind.
No, that's all right. Good pun.
So it was when me and my husband first started dating, and we were on the couch kind of getting started, and I didn't realize I had a small dog at the time, and I didn't realize she was on the couch.
You didn't realize you had a small dog at the time?
No, she was on the couch.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I realized she was still on the couch, and we were just, you know, it was foreplay still, so it was, you know, we were going to move to the bedroom eventually, but... All of a sudden, he stopped, and he froze, and he got up, and he started pacing. My husband started pacing in the living room, and I'm like, what's going on? And we just started dating. We were 3 weeks in, and he looked me dead in the eyes, and he said, the dog just licked my unit.
Yes, and that was the day that Kathy found out her future husband always applied peanut butter to his penis, Bill. Always, just in case. Something like, how embarrassing.
It was over.
Oh, choosy mom's preferred GIF.
But you guys stayed together after that and ended up getting married?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're married now. Been together for going on 9 years.
Well, yeah, because the guy figured, well, I got to find out how the dog learned to do that. And clearly it was Kathy. It was learned behavior. So he's like, I'm in, baby. I'm in. Wherever this takes us.
Or he's just trying to get it in, and then the dog licks him and he can't keep it up. And he's like... So, what else do you like? Yeah, I actually got to get to know you now.
Uh-huh. Is that dog still alive?
No, Bambi just passed away this past November.
And I bet your husband was sadder than anyone, wasn't he?
Was it fentanyl? It's getting a lot of people.
No, she wasn't sad.
Oh, he felt a certain type of way about Bambi. Mm-hmm. Kathy and her husband, he cried the hardest of all. They had a bond that could never be replicated or broken by another human being or canine.
Well, the funniest thing.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm sorry for your husband's loss.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Hey, Matt.
Good afternoon, Alan. I hate the show.
Hey, thanks. What's up?
Ever since I heard the song I, Palindrome I by They Might Be Giants, yeah. I have been a palindrome enthusiast. They have a whole sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
It's EGAD, a bass tone, denotes a bad age.
EGAD.
A bass tone.
Bass tone denotes a bad age.
How about evil did I dwell, lewd I did live.
Ooh.
Hi-oh. Nice. How about that?
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. All right. Now that Poundcake has been indoctrinated into this fascinating and scintillating world of palindromes, Bill.
Reviver.
Reviver, that's a palindromic word, sure.
So excited. Right?
Bill threw out race car, that's a great one too. Level.
Race car, yeah.
Rotor.
Yes. Rotor. Draw, oh coward, is another sentence, right? Poundcake always likes the devil stuff. Lived on decaf, faced no devil. stupid. Marge lets Nora see Sharon's telegram.
Wow.
Mr. Owl ate my metal worm. I guess Weird Al has a song called Bob.
Yeah.
That's all palindromes.
Yeah.
People are getting me hip to that since we got on the subject. 35192 if you want to send me a text. If you want to join us on the phone, 216-578-1007. Or 800-348-1007. If you're a podcast listener and you want to jump in, but you are not listening in real time, or you think of something when the show's off the air, you can call anytime. The Alan Cox Show After Hours line is always available. That is 216-986-8903. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Nothing. What is up with you?
Hanging out.
I got an example of some palindromes as well.
Yeah.
Mom, dad.
Well, yeah, we those are the ones that blew Poundcake's mind, apparently.
What about radar?
Radar? Poop?
Pop?
Yeah.
Well, you just took an L out of poop.
Hey, it still works,
Alan. Yeah, it is. Taco Cat. I mean, all these, right? It's
wow.
Yeah. 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 Poundcake, any of these blowing your mind, too?
I think I got it out of my system.
There we go. See, he's over it. Joe is already over it.
No, mom and dad got me. That was I was shooketh. Ooh, oh, no, shook's not one. No.
Ooh was good one.
Right. Thank you, Joe. All right.
LOL.
I'm an Amrigo. A German am I. Never auto even if I had a high five.
LOL is an abbreviation.
Doesn't matter, still works. Let me have it.
No lemons, no melon. Too bad I hit a brute. Lisa Bonet ain't no basil. What song was wrong? Was it a car or a cat I saw?
So he's doing Bob Dylan.
Yeah, was it a car or a cat I saw? The Lisa Bonet one was pretty good.
Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, working that in is pretty tough.
Lisa Bonet ate no basil. Right. All right. You gonna watch the State of the Union tonight?
Nah.
I'm not either. Boy, I there's a part of me that's like curious to see what happens, but...
I don't have regular TV right now, so I'm not gonna...
You don't have regular TV?
No.
What do you mean?
Like I cut
it's on
cord.
Like every channel. Yeah, me know, too, but it's on every channel.
But if you don't have any channels, all I have is like streaming services.
You don't have Hulu with TV?
No.
Wow. So you don't get local channels at all?
I had PlayStation View, and it ended on Friday of last week.
Yeah, they stopped doing that, right?
So I'm like, well, am I going to get a new one? I'm like, why? I don't even watch anything, really. Cavs are trash, and I can watch that on Fox Sports anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Indians coming up, I'll watch that on Fox Sports. I have the app through my mom and dad's passwords. So I'll just, you know, commit a crime and steal theirs. And everything else, it's like, I can, you know, I'll go to a bar if I need to, but there's not a lot that I watch on regular TV.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where it's like, I watch mostly on the streaming things, but I do like the option of going into Hulu with live TV and clicking through.
I like it, but
if I want to channel surf.
Not if, it's not appealing enough to me to actually pay for it right now.
Really?
I just don't want, yeah, because I don't use it enough to make it worthwhile.
Right.
Even though it's like, what, $50 or something for Hulu?
If you get Hulu with live TV, it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I spend some money on it.
And so I already have like Disney Plus, and I have Netflix, and I have Hulu. I have a bunch of streaming services, but I'm not going to add regular TV on top of that. I just don't need it. I don't use it enough. Not worthwhile.
If you've been keeping an eye at all on what's happening in Iowa, it's been one giant shrimp show.
I'm sure the State of the Union will be on YouTube, though.
It was the Democrats.
It'll be on everything. Yeah. It'll be on like CNN.com or whatever, YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still want to watch it.
I feel like last night was a Democrats' time to shine, and then they ruined it. They just
I feel
it.
Like they showed everybody what the Democratic Party's made of.
Exactly.
Well, it's like cluster F. It's like an app that it just plays into every
unorganized. Mm-hmm. Not knowing where we're going with our party. We have no direction.
Listen, this thing was jammed up because of an app that they use. That's got nothing to do with all those other things. I mean, that's
whatever.
Now you're throwing in Republican talking points. But I'm saying that they had to flip a coin last night to determine if Mayor Pete or Elizabeth Warren would get a delegate. They each got a delegate, and then there was a second one. They decided on a coin flip.
I thought they'd done that before.
They have. This is not the first time they've ever done it. But it's still weird.
The whole delegate thing is weird anyway.
The whole system of
it's
determining
really
anything. It's
Judges
crazy.
Are tied, and in order to break that tie, we have to flip a coin. So this is for a second delegate. You're gonna call. I'm gonna flip. Okay. All right. Jesus. Ready?
Yep. There you go.
It is tails. So Pete Buttigieg wins the coin flip, and
Buttigieg had to get tails. The gay dude had to get tails.
No bias.
Did you see the woman who likes Mayor Pete until she found out he was gay?
Oh, really? That's
how did you not know? By the way,
he doesn't wear. Actually, take that.
No, but
because he doesn't wear it on his sleeve.
But he's a gay man.
They talked about constantly. He talks about his husband.
It's in his CV. Like he's not making himself the gay candidate.
This is someone who doesn't. I mean. His husband's the one that puts all over himself.
But you literally have to pay almost zero attention to not know that. And then, but then to say he's your guy, you looked at a field of people, and you had to have arrived at a decision that he's your guy. All of which without knowing that he's a gay man. I don't know how you got to that point.
I think he's so cute.
And then if you liked all of his, everything else that he has to say, because he's one of more of the centrist candidates, allegedly, then why would the gay thing throw you off?
I don't know. Is there audio of this?
Yeah. This woman finds out and then asks the person working for the Buttigieg campaign if she can change her vote. Wanted to change her mind, and the lady's like, well, you can, but why would you want to do that?
Because people are terrible.
Came over.
So are you saying that he has a same-sex partner?
Yes.
This woman's covered in Pete buttons. She's got more Pete buttons than she's got more Pete buttons than teeth. This woman.
Kidding? He's married to him, yeah. You need to find out if that's serious. Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back? I don't know. Find it.
I don't want somebody like that in the White House. I want a traitor who raw dogs porn stars while his wife's pregnant. That's who I want in the White House.
Hey, man, the American dream.
What's the American dream?
Raw dog and a porn star while your wife's pregnant? Hello?
That's the American dream?
Who doesn't dream of that? And getting away with it.
I'm not getting my wife pregnant.
He didn't get away with it.
He's not in trouble for it. I mean,
those are just, two different things.
Just because people found out about it doesn't mean he didn't
get away.
Those are
two different things.
It kind of got away with it.
The whole point of it is, though, if he's a human being, right? Just like you and me, and should it really matter? That's what.
Well, he better read the Bible.
He does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political.
By the way, Mayor Pete is also one of the only people in that field who's been openly Christian.
Right.
Who has been openly, you know, early on, they were like, this guy's going to get liberals talking about Jesus again, which is fine. Nobody, I don't know if people have a problem with Jesus. You got a problem with how people misinterpret what the guy said, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to pick on anybody for, but I'm just not sure how you arrive at this is your guy, but right. Then don't know that about
and
him.
And then don't know he's gay. And then when you hear that he's gay, you go, well, I don't want someone like that in the White House.
And this woman goes,
wow.
You can just see the exasperation in this woman's face. Like, okay, I can't believe I have to explain this in 2020, but he's a human being. He's a smart guy. He's a veteran.
Does he read the Bible?
For all this lip service, people love to spew about veterans.
Mm-hmm.
They sure don't practice it, boy.
No, it's all, everything's...
He's the only veteran out there.
As long as it falls in line with what you want, it's important. But, I mean, look at the way, like, Donald Trump, terrible to veterans. Terrible. But then he says, hey, we got to support the veterans. And they go, oh, yeah, we do have to support the veterans. But he's terrible. He's been horrible publicly to veterans.
I'm just curious how this woman got all this way and didn't know anything about the guy. Like, what about him did she like?
That he was intelligent, that he actually had a plan, and he...
Well, they're all intelligent. I mean, they're all whatever.
Not all,
they have varying levels of accomplishments within government, I mean, you know...
Buttigieg has the spunk that we need in the White House. I mean, he's young.
Good. You might want to rephrase that.
No, I'm going to keep it the way it is. He has the spunk we need in the White House. I get all the old people out, and I'm ready for something new.
Now, this lady wants him to read the Bible.
Bottoms for Buttigieg.
Because why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then?
Well, narrator, it doesn't.
I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do. But I think that we were not around.
How come this has never been brought out before?
Dummy.
See,
how has that been brought up before? She sounds like the oldest woman.
And good for this precinct captain who's trying to really kind of just get through this. She's like, look, I respect where you're coming from.
I don't. You're stupid.
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't know. People are bending over backwards, and she's trying to do her job. She's not going to rail on this woman, obviously. You don't want to turn away a potential voter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not sure where it says you have to respect stupidity.
Does she understand that mom and dad are spelled the same way backwards, too?
You know what?
That'd probably blow her mind.
If only she had asked her that. Ma'am, let me ask you this. Did you realize that mom and dad are palindromes?
What's a palindrome?
Exactly.
It's common knowledge.
I never heard it.
She doesn't know what to say.
She doesn't because, and again, I'm with her. How did you arrive at this point where you're wearing Pete buttons and didn't know any of this?
You didn't even ask anybody.
It's so funny.
How are you a Democrat, by the way, in the first place? Even if you didn't like him... I
mean, it sounds like she just wanted to vote.
Yeah, maybe.
We can talk to someone if you need to talk to them about this. I don't know the rules on this or not, but I guess what I would like you to just dig deep inside and think, like, should it matter if it's a woman or if it's a man or if they're heterosexual or homosexual if you believe in what they say? That's my question.
Let me ask you this. Is the country more ready... and again, this is another question I can't believe we're asking in 2020, but is the country more ready for the first gay president or the first female president?
Gay.
I wonder why that is, that America has such a problem with female...
It's been like that for they gave slaves the right to vote faster than they gave... I mean, not slaves. They gave the black man the right to vote.
No, but I mean, there have been female heads of state in much more conservative countries for decades... Before the United States. It's strange to me. Genuinely strange.
Wouldn't it be the biggest troll ever after we get out of like this horrible, horrific pregnancy. Presidency.
Pregnancy. Freudian slip. We're trying to give birth to something. And then
we get like, we get a family friendly guy like Pete that's like, just happens to be gay. And he's like, the best president ever.
He doesn't happen to be gay. He's gay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, but like, it's not a huge factor. It's not a huge factor on
not to you, but it is to this woman. A lot of people, it's a gigantic factor.
I don't understand why, though. Why?
I don't know. Ask black people.
I don't think they hate him because he's gay. I don't think he hasn't had, like, good legislation in, what is the city in Indiana?
That he was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
And he didn't treat, you know, that whole fiasco with the police there
properly. It goes deeper than that. The gay thing is a huge issue for a lot of people.
And I don't know.
For a lot of people.
It is.
Why didn't they absolutely give, is. The black people didn't give Obama any problems when he...
Because he's black!
Okay. But if he was black and gay, would they have a problem?
But yes! He wasn't gay. That's not that's not even an analogy.
Well, I'm just saying when he went for
gay marriage. Buttigieg is the first openly gay candidate.
I know, but I just like the idea of a first gentleman. I think that'd be so much fun. That's the ultimate.
Ladies and gentlemen,
daddy.
The first gentleman.
Yeah. Chasen Buttigieg.
Come on. Is that saying Chasen?
Chasen. Chasen.
I think Bill's right. I think it's Chasen.
It might be Chasen. But he comes out with a nice little Birkin bag and some stilettos. I want him to be the biggest queen in the White House. Oh, those
except
parties.
Except he's not. Lit. They're both regular dudes.
No, but like, I think you got to jazz it up a bit. Like, for the Christmas parties, you have like a drag queen come in and deliver
gifts.
They
couldn't do that. They can't even get this lady to vote for him because she thinks.
He's not president yet.
Yeah, but she won't even vote for him in the caucus. As soon as she found out he has a husband, she's like, well, can't have that guy in the White House. He's disqualified
and
in
he
her
knows,
eyes over
and,
that.
And he knows that, which is why he's not making it front and center. But you should still know that about him.
Right.
If you've gotten this far in the process of picking somebody. It's not like he's going to get to the White House and paint the place pink.
I can't wait. Yes,
it's not
going to
be RuPaul's drag race.
Mama Ru does the inauguration.
No, because a lot of gay voters they've said he's not gay enough.
Sissy, that walk all the way to the White House.
Which is silly, too.
I'm just saying.
That's why it's so hard on the left, because everybody's so fragmented that, like,
you're too much or not
enough. On the conservative side, it's like, okay, we care about money and hate.
Well,
and that's all that matters to us.
But you're appealing to one kind of person on the right, which is super simple.
Right.
Old and white. Super simple. And left, you're trying to get all these people under this tent, and boy, most of them, if you don't have every friggin' box checked.
That's why we call them snowflakes. Everyone's individual.
Who's this wee white man?
Me?
It all just went right down the toilet, is where it all just went.
It all just went down
just
the toilet,
toilet
because
right
I
now.
Found out that Pete Buttigieg was gay.
And so, on the left, you have all these fragmented different groups that, you know, there's all sorts. There's hate disguised as other things, and it's so ridiculous.
What about the rent is too damn high guy? Whatever
Bring
happened to him?
Bring him on. He's got charisma.
Or Vermin
wait,
Supreme.
Is he gay?
Huh?
Is the rent too damn high? Is he gay?
Not that I know of. Well, then. But if he was, the rent would still be too damn high.
It's just easy. Just vote Trump 2020.
Imagine you have a total right to your opinion, and I am not trying to tell you to think otherwise, but we'll ask what they want us to do. But I just ask you to look inside your heart, because you sound like a Christian woman to me, and I'm a Christian woman, and my God wants me to love everybody.
Well, anyway, you know what's going on there, but I'm just fascinated by this woman who got all this way.
I picked you cherry pick!
and didn't know what was going on there.
You're supposed to be in the kitchen.
Who's supposed to be in the kitchen?
The Bible says the woman is a homemaker.
The Bible says that?
That a woman is supposed to,
that a woman is a homemaker?
Yep, and man should work from sweat off of his brow or something like that.
So if I'm not sweating and I'm not working?
Yep.
Okay.
Essentially.
And then if
spare
we mix
clothes, so
if we mix clothing or mix cloths
correct.
Or fibers or whatever, then you got to stone somebody. The Bible's definitely what you should base all
spare
your
spare the rod,
decisions
spoil the
in
child.
2020 on.
So that means you got to beat your kid with a rod because the Bible says so. That's what I'm saying. It said spare the rod, spoil
and
the child.
Poundcake just wanted to meet a guy named Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't spare that rod on me, Rod.
I'm not looking forward to this election season. It's going to be terrible.
Can't wait. Get the popcorn. I mean, I'm just going to assume Trump's going to win, and then, like, if I'm pleasantly surprised, then great. But if not, I'm just going to assume Trump's going to win, and we're all doomed. And, you know, I'll just keep it that way, so I won't be disappointed when he wins. That's all. That's how I have to look at it.
That's your take on the whole thing?
Mm-hmm. That is my take. I will vote Democrat, but I'm assuming Trump will win. That's why I keep... I don't like to gloat about it, but that's why I keep my Trump sign underneath my desk. Because when they come and take us, I want them to know that I'm on... Y'all got somebody on the inside. I'm black and I'm gay. They can't turn me down because I'm Trump 2020. So
that's your insurance policy.
Oh, yeah. They ain't about to get me. Heck no.
Blah, 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 blah.
Heck no.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, he certainly has some conservative thoughts, Bill.
Yeah. Trans really does. People ruined everything. Trump that's can say right. That 2020 is a pologram.
A pologram?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
You know what? He probably would say it's a pologram.
Hey, I molest children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Pologram. What is a pologram?
Whatever you guys said, same way.
Palindrome?
Yeah, palindrome.
Yeah,
it's not a palindrome.
Nor is it a polygram.
Don't correct our fearless leader. It's fine.
You mean a polygon?
Sure.
All right.
Whatever. I'm going to save you guys. You guys got a friend in me. Leave me alone.
We're going to leave you alone. How about that? I think that's a good idea. I'm going to leave him alone.
MAGA 2020.
Alan, we haven't heard anything from that rent is too damn high guy, so he's probably dead. Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Jimmy something, right? Rent is too damn
Jimmy
high
something.
Guy. Jay Butts? Who was the rent is too damn high guy?
I don't know.
Jimmy McMillan.
Is he dead?
He ran for mayor of New York in 05 and 09. He's still alive. He's 73.
Oh, so he's the proper age to run for president.
That's right. That's why I'm saying get him in there. You got another black candidate, and he's the founder of the Rent is Too Damn High party. Now, he did endorse Donald Trump in 2016.
As he should.
I guess if you figure that the rent is too damn high, I'm not sure what the connection is there. But he ran for governor. Every time there's a gubernatorial election in the state of New York, boy, he runs. And he's done a couple of music videos, too. That's how you get...
That's how you get the kids.
That's how you get the kids.
Get that young vote. Do some music videos.
There you go.
So if anybody knows, I voted for Trump.
He tried to run as a Republican, but didn't get him very far, so he founded the Rent is Too Damn High party. Now, I don't know what he thinks, by the way. I don't know that he ever quantified... what reasonable rent is. If you say the rent is too damn high, you get people going, yeah, it is. But I don't know what he considers reasonable rent. He's living in New York.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the rent is too damn high. That's why he should come and run for governor of Ohio.
But compared to D.C., tries to get, like, an apartment in D.C.? Oh.
Or 100 other places.
Yeah, but I think the rent is the highest
Baltimore?
In D.C.
Just consider us your earbuds. Jesus, who writes this crap?
The Alan Cox Show.
On WMMS.
I was zipping around Architectural Digest online, and they had a walkthrough of Kim and Kanye's house. I don't know how this house has four children in it. Everything's white. It's all impeccably appointed. Everything is white in this house. There's like white plaster and stark white furniture and everything, you know.
Yeah, the kids probably aren't allowed in those rooms. They probably have like sectioned off areas for the kids that are gigantic still.
What a way to grow up. You think right? Like your house is like a museum.
We kind of had a room like that.
Did you?
Yeah, we had a room.
You weren't allowed in the room?
I mean, it wasn't like, we were allowed in it, but we had to be on our best behavior in there.
And what was in that room?
It was just a front living, like we had a living room that we used with like the TV and everything, and then we had one that just had like a fireplace and a couple couches in the front room.
It was like a sitting room.
It was like a sitting room, and we weren't allowed to... run around or play in there, really.
Your parents were the Kim and Kanye of Medina.
I mean, we still did.
Oh, you did?
I mean, we weren't supposed to, but we did.
I mean, beyond this house being staged, obviously, for Architectural Digest, it doesn't change what's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why do you have four kids in this house? I mean, a lot of this house would have to be cordoned off. Now, I imagine it's a massive house.
Yeah, it's probably got like four or five bedrooms.
And from what I'm reading, 1.5 bathrooms.
Which bath is a lifesaver.
How? They said everything we do is an art installation and a playroom. That has to be categorically false.
That's so not true.
It can't be true.
That doesn't make sense. They don't know what. Maybe they don't let their kids play like other kids. I don't know. It's very strange. The rich people just have no idea how regular people are.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, everybody's situation is relative. So if I'm super wealthy, who cares how regular people are living? I'm going to live the way I want to live. But if I, but I also have four children.
They probably also renovate those rooms constantly.
You think?
If, yeah, because they're always upgrading to like the newest style. You're not leaving stuff. My mom would buy a couch. My parents would. And that was our couch for 25 years.
Right. You'd replace it when it started to fall apart.
Right. Kim's replacing her couch every season because she can.
Yeah, by the way, Bill is not alone with having a house that... having a room in the house that no one goes in. Every black household has one of those.
Well, I mean, we had a room in our... I guess one of the front rooms of our house was a room that we just didn't use that often. So it didn't get much traffic. But... it wasn't like it was off limits.
Yeah, my mom
to
said,
us.
Don't let me catch a black ass on my couch in there. And the front room, nobody went in. It was only for company.
The company room.
If Obama stopped by, we have a room. We have dishes for Obama. We have cups for Obama. Like, no one goes into the room. That's Obama's room.
Your mom was planning for Obama when you were a kid?
An Obama-like guest. It better be damn near Jesus coming into that room, because she's not going to open up that room just for anybody.
So you were not allowed to go in that room?
No. And if she catches you in there, she'll get the switch.
She said, get the hell out of this room.
Yes.
Because what were you going to do? She didn't trust you guys to not wreck the room?
Oh, we would have wrecked the room, totally. We would have.
And to him, I like it was like, oh my God, he loves it, because he doesn't really like anything.
That's my specialty, not liking stuff.
So, oh, I don't like him. I knew that it was going to be our dream home and that he was going to fully redo it and it was going to be likable.
Going to be likable.
They live in
there
Hidden,
you go.
They live in Hidden Hills, by the way.
Where they make the salad dressing?
That's Hidden Valley, Bill. Yeah.
They live in the...
They have a ranch out in Hidden Valley. That's why everything's white in this house.
All you gotta do is type in Kanye's house into Google and it should pop up.
Well, like I said, I there was a walkthrough on Architectural Digest website, but I was just fascinated by... because one of the photos, obviously, is them with their kids. But everything else in this house is white.
Well, I'm really fascinated. I'm really actually kind of surprised that they did this, because... Kim has been very private about her, you know, material things and like her home and stuff like that ever since she got robbed.
But so still, I do love this notion that Kanye is some kind of design genius. Because they get a designer to come in and do everything. So what is he doing? I like that, I don't like that.
He knows what's chic and how it all flows together. But this house looks like a damn mall. Like, there's all the other houses.
That's what I'm saying. You got four kids in there.
In this little development. And then you see their house. It looks like Oprah's house. I'm like, this is ridiculous. You got $200 million people living in the same house.
I thought they were last time I had Kathy Griffin on the show, she said that they were her neighbors.
That's their old house. That was before they built this one.
Oh, okay. I'm going to talk to Whitney Cummings here in a few minutes. She's doing a show at the Agora, her How Dare You tour. Is doing about a dozen or so dates, one of which is going to be on the 25th of April here in Cleveland. I feel like it's been a minute since she's done a live show here. If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio from outside of Ohio, tell me where you do that. We'll put you on the map of Bureau Chiefs. AJ is a new Bureau Chief in San Francisco. We already have a bunch of people there, so I don't have to put a new pin up. Dan is in Burgettstown outside Pittsburgh. Mary is in D.C., trying to think of the last actual pin I put up. Manny is in Waimama, Florida.
Waimama.
He told me how to pronounce that, and I'm still not doing it correctly. Waimama? Waimama.
Waimama.
Is that a palindrome? Is that a polydrome?
No, I think
polygon.
That's
what did he call it?
Song.
A polygram is what Pound Cake called it.
Parallelogram.
No, you called it a polygram.
A polygram, yeah.
Polygram.
So I've been wrong before.
Yes. You? What?
That's
you?
Shocking.
Come on, man. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't try to convince me that you've been wrong before. If anybody around here has been wrong before, it's me.
Okay.
I was wrong once.
Hiring me?
It's when I told you you were wrong. That was the time I was wrong.
You also just slight inceptioned me. I have to catch up.
Huh?
You just inceptioned me. I was trying to put that together in my head, but I'm a little slow.
See? Bill, he's hard on himself.
Yeah, he is. He thinks he's... His brain's kind of a dud.
It's a polygram. I already know.
It's a palindrome.
A palindrome.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it. See, I got it, though.
He's part of the IQ is too damn high party.
Mm-hmm. When you eat, though, do you get worried that you get food on your clothes?
No.
Okay, because if you did, you could wear a bib.
Yeah. All right.
Noon.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, these are all words that. Yeah,
I like how simple ones really are the best ones. For him.
And he's proud of himself for arriving at them.
But I'm saying they've always been there. I just never known. It's just like you learn something new every day. Like that's all. It's always been noon. But
and yet
I never
you still
knew
don't know what they're called.
Palindrome.
He's still.
Palindrome.
He's still thinking polygram.
Mm-hmm.
More than 6, but fewer than 10 minutes with Whitney Cummings. She is on the road. Her How Dare You tour starts in a couple of weeks. She'll start in Detroit, and then she'll traverse these United States. April the 25th, she'll be here to do a show at the Agora. Hey.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Whitney? I worry about you.
Why?
I don't know. I worry about you. How are you feeling?
Oh, my goodness. I'm pretty good.
I mean, don't misunderstand me. I don't lie awake at night worrying about you, but when I think about you, I hope you're doing well.
I appreciate that so much. I feel like when you're a comedian and a writer, you sort of reveal all your deepest, darkest secrets and mistakes to everyone. So I get why you'd be worried.
It's also an odd thing, too, because... even when you're being candid and even when you're being vulnerable, people in their brains go, that's for comedy. So it's like, you know, so there's a certain patina that you develop over yourself just to perform. But on the other hand, you know, people go, she's making it all up.
You never really know what's a joke and what's not and what's real. You know, yeah, I think it's our job as comedians to be honest and authentic and raw and to say things that no one else has the, you know, courage to say. And but sometimes, people do come up to me in airports and they're like, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. But I'm like, oh, you probably watched my last special.
I was thinking about you, too, with the when Whitney was still on. I remember because I was thinking about this during the Super Bowl when you guys did that Brotherhood of Man promo. For the Super Bowl?
Oh, gosh, I don't even remember that.
Were you guys all sang that Broadway song? It was like a cross-promote across all the NBC shows. So they would have 30 Rock, and then they cut to you guys, and you're all doing this, I mean, each show in short clips, but you and D'Elia were in it. And I was like, I forgot all about that. It was this big, long, choreographed piece for the Super Bowl for NBC that year.
Oh, my gosh. I think I remember that now. This is wild. Yes. Wow. I had blocked all of this out.
And after seeing it, I understand why. Because, I mean, you know, mercifully, you guys were in it for a couple of seconds, but it probably wasn't something that you felt awesome about doing.
It was like a choreographed dance with a bunch of different TV shows. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, when you're a comedian and you get to get up and you get to say exactly what you want, you know, but when you're on a network, you have to do what they ask you to do, and you've got to tap dance, and you have to say things you don't want to say, or you're not allowed to say things you do want to say, which is why I love doing specials and touring, because, you know, especially now with how there's, you know, everyone gets offended by everything these days, it seems like it's nice to be able to just be on Netflix and, you know, be doing stand-up where, you know, because I think most people, Americans, they just want to laugh. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're not going to get outraged by it. They know what a joke is. They can take a joke. They have a sense of humor.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, there's a lot of comics now are ambivalent about colleges. You know, if you talk to people who can kind of pick and choose what they definitely do and don't want to do, guys like Seinfeld and Chris Rock, they'll be like, no, I'm not doing colleges anymore because I don't need to, or it's a pain in the ass. And again, I don't know how often you're even asked to do colleges, but are you somebody who is still kind of glass half full when it comes to those kinds of venues?
Yeah, I love doing colleges. I don't ever blame audiences for anything. You know, I mean, our job is to show up and have a bunch of different material that works. If it doesn't work, you move on to something else. But you're supposed to have a couple little, you know, tricks in the bag in case something doesn't go well. But I think for the most part, people really want to laugh. I stay away from politics entirely. I almost called this tour the No Politics I Promise tour.
Yeah.
Just so people knew coming in that they weren't going to have to deal with, you know, all day on Twitter, all day on Facebook, people have to deal with politics. So I just wanted to really create a place that was actually conducive to comedy, like where I'm not telling people how to vote or lecturing them on how to, you know, live their lives and what to believe politically. So I tend to not go into that area. You know, and if someone's offended by something or if something doesn't go well, you just call it out. You're like, why was that offensive? What's going on? And you just got to get through it. You know, I come from doing the roasts where you would say the most shocking, offensive thing on the planet. And that was the point. The point was to shock people and surprise people and say something that no one else would say. So, that's what I come from, and I'll never stop doing that.
Not only that, but we're also kind of at the point now where even as, talented and creative as Whitney Cummings is, it seems almost impossible to make real life more absurd.
It's so true. It's very true. Where you'll write something outrageous and then something even more outrageous will happen in real life in the news. And you're like, oof. So you got to just go back to basics. Comedians have always had to evolve. We've always had to react to what was going on. And I think that a lot of people don't understand, like, when people get outraged by something, it just makes the subject funnier because there's more tension and taboo around it.
Yeah.
You know, comedians, we play in the area of what's off limits. So the more things you make off limits, the more you're giving us to joke about. You know, so we're fine. we're like, this is great. Keep freaking out. Like, you'll just give us more punchlines.
Sure. I heard you say a long time ago that Paul Reiser was one of your favorite comics, and I was so happy. I had him in here not long ago, and he was always one of mine. And even as successful as Reiser was, I felt like he still was underrated in, like, the pantheon of comics for what he did kind of at the time, because he was kind of coming up with Seinfeld, and Paul Reiser kind of got... I feel like Pigeonhole is maybe like a sitcom guy for a while, but I love Paul Reiser.
That's a really good point. I think that, you know, it was like Mad About You was such a big show and was such a big deal. But yeah, I think, I guess Seinfeld happened and it's just, he did, and it kind of went away. You know, he sort of, you know, like, which I think is probably healthy. He probably went and, you know, spent time with his family and had a real life. And, you know, but I feel like he's having this really cool, like, resurgence. Like, he was in what show was he in? Not Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Or,
he's in everything. He does all this dramatic stuff, and he's
Fossey Verdon.
Yeah,
in, yeah. He like pops up in little shows, and he's doing a reboot of Mad About You now, which is so freaking cool. So I feel like he's starting to kind of, you know, he's. I think that's the way to do it. You know, I think to have success and go away and live your life, so that when you do come back, you have something to write about. You know, art. It's, for art to imitate life, you have to have a life. And some of us work so much that we don't even have anything to joke anymore. That's why comedians have so many airplane jokes, because we spend our lives in airports.
Yeah.
You know? That's all we see. So you got to go out in the world. You got to go make mistakes. You got to go to some baby showers, you know, so that you can have stories to bring to your audience.
I know that you want to go out and be creative and work and do what you want to do, but are you more creatively freed on the financial side because Two Broke Girls is in syndication?
The days of crazy syndication money are kind of gone. I do okay. I work really, really hard. You know, I'm grateful that show did well so that I can, you know, focus on stand-up and, you know, I can tour and I can, you know, talk to you at, you know, a touring comedian. Our hours can be very, very, you know, crazy. And I like that, you know, I'm coming to Cleveland, but I'm going to come in a couple days early and drive around and hang out in the city. Like, I get to sort of, you know, have days off and enjoy the travel I do and do it well. I think that's really what I get from it.
Whitney Cummings' How Dare You tour is on the road. She'll be here to play the Agora on April the 25th. It'll be packed to the rafters. No doubt.
Can't wait.
With people
Can't
who
wait.
Are
I've never
pleased to see
there
you.
Before.
It's a great venue.
Haven't been there in ages, so, and I've never done the Agora, and all the comics say it's one of the best venues in the country.
It's fantastic. You'll have a great time. I appreciate you getting up early, and I'm always happy to hear that you're doing well, Whitney.
Okay, thank you so much, Alan. More than six, but fewer than 10 minutes.
There's Whitney Cummings. You can hear her stuff on iHeartRadio. Those tickets are on sale if you go to agoracleveland.com. Every Wednesday, her podcast is called Good For You. You can hear that, too, if you want to see what else she's doing. Send me a text. For anything, if you listen to the show via podcast on iHeartRadio and you want to throw in but you can't do it live, you can use the Alan Cox Show After Hours line. Or even if you listen to the show live, you can use it any time. 216-986-8903. You can hit us up at alancoxshow.com, of course. You want to watch, you can do it there. We got local talent in the Alan Cox Show Instagram Hotties. Volume 2 is up there.
Nice.
We've got
lots of talent otherwise, too.
Yep. We've got drunk people doing stuff up there.
I posted a mashup of, check this out, Tool and Taylor Swift. You would think, no way this would work. And you listen to it, and you're like, wow.
You got chocolate in my peanut butter. You got peanut butter in my chocolate.
You got pop music in my metal. You got metal in my pop music.
Please. Punk rock, Bill.
Oh, punk rock, yeah. I forgot Taylor Swift.
Stink
is
Fist,
punk
we
rock.
Are never getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
You think this would make Maynard angry, or do you think he'd?
I think he might actually dig
be
it.
Be down with it. Okay.
Pretty well done.
You think it'll make Pound Cake angry? He's a big T Swift fan, isn't he? What is this trash? That's Taylor Swift, Pancake.
But what's the stuff behind
it? Don't call her trash.
She's not trash.
Do this, not this call Lil T Swift trash.
You call Tool trash?
Yeah, this beat? Is this punk rock? I'd rather stick with my Hot Topic.
Did you see that Nikki Glaser had to apologize? That didn't have to. She chose to apologize to Taylor Swift.
For what?
I guess she called her super skinny. She watched it. Taylor Swift's got that documentary.
I saw that too. I saw the trailer, and I almost...
The girls are trying not to body shame each other.
I almost felt bad for laughing at her when she cried in the bathroom. Almost.
Why almost?
Corey Roddick watched it and said it was great.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to watch. I'm going to do a Flicks and Bill with him.
Wow. That Corey Roddick, he is an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a mystery, that guy.
Wrapped in a lot of veins.
So anymore. He is he a Taylor Swift fan or
no,
he was just he was
he's not
interested.
But he watched it and he's like, oh, this actually was very interesting. He was very
she's probably a sweet girl.
Just very intrigued by it.
And Poundcake was laughing all the way through it.
10 years? I didn't see it.
I thought you said you laughed when she was in the bathroom.
No, I was laughing at when you were reading the story about how she cried in the bathroom over Jake Gyllenhaal not coming to her 21st birthday.
Oh, right.
Because that is funny. A 21-year-old girl crying, Mom, I really wanted him to come to my birthday party.
Except she was famous. She wasn't some 21-year-old rando.
Yes, but that visual is funny to me. Her little ponytail rubbing up against the wall as she's sliding down. And she's just like, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You do find humor in other people's pain.
Just
that's why he's a Trump fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's got that Trump 2020. The cruelty is the point.
Yeah, I only find humor in my friend's pain.
Bill has to know someone intimately to find humor in them hating what's going on with
them.
Well,
I don't really have many friends, so I don't have to worry about that. So my
Nor do I, but I don't find joy in other people's pain.
It's better than looking at my own.
Now that's funny. That is hilarious. Well, there you go. The Tool Taylor Swift mashup is at alancoxshow.com. Along with Throw Up Thursday, the guy at the baseball game who just slowly and copiously vomits onto his
it's great
huge belly.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one to watch.
It's like he's half asleep going through it and is covering his mouth to zero effect. And it's just slowly. It's like lava seeping out of a mountain. It's seeping out of his mouth. Bits of hot dog.
My girlfriend doesn't like the Taylor Swift and Tool mashup. Can you play a little more of it, please?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're trying to create a problem for your girlfriend.
Let's get to the chorus.
Your girl is Team Tool or Team T-Swift?
Tool.
I don't know what's the matter with that.
I like it.
I got zero problems with
that. I like it a lot.
It's not like they're going to go on tour together.
No.
We can live vicariously through whatever these people are doing. I like those
mashups. It's not better than the original, obviously, but Taylor Swift doing a little metal is fun. For the original version of Trouble, or Getting Back Together, whatever that dumb song's called. Is it titled We Are Never Getting Back Together?
We Are Never Getting Back Together, right? Isn't that her song about Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, Harry Styles. There's an array.
You know, I can't keep them straight. Mostly because I don't care.
I think she writes songs to remember.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. You know, Inspirato comes from a variety of sources.
Jake Gyllenhaal was the inspiration behind Teardrops on My Guitar, right?
Don't know that one. He says right, like I can correct him one way or the
Someone
other.
Someone that hates Taylor Swift a lot. You sure do know a lot of
her
songs.
I said I'm a fan of her music, but the artist itself, I don't like. I think she's fake, and she's trying to...
Who do you think's real?
But I just think that there, as soon as the cameras go off, she's like, all right, God damn it! Like, she turns into this major bitch. Like, I just
Are
think
there
that,
reports of that?
No.
There are zero reports of that.
No, she's nice.
I think you are uncomfortable with someone who is probably very nice, and so you're looking... You're creating a scenario in which she's not that way. You're saying, I think she's fake, because that makes you feel better.
Sure.
Because taking anyone at face value who might be genuinely nice, especially someone that wealthy and famous, makes you very uncomfortable.
Sure. Let's go with that.
I think that's true.
Okay.
Right?
That is your opinion.
Is that a correct opinion?
No.
It's not.
No.
So you laugh at her, why? You think she's fake, why?
I think she is a phony. I think.
But why? Well, you've already said that.
Based
why
on
do
what?
You think that?
Just by the way she acts. I've never met somebody that's just so prissy and perfect like that.
You never met her?
No, I never met her. But just from what there's enough footage of her behind the scenes, on stage.
But what I'm saying is you're seeing the same thing. I mean, a personal connection to someone notwithstanding, right? Since you don't have that with her. You're seeing the same thing everyone else is seeing.
Sure.
And so everyone else has not come to that conclusion.
A lot of people have. And she addresses that in the documentary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's fine.
You've really put a lot of thought in it.
I think you should watch the documentary.
I'm going to watch it tonight. Like I said, I hope she changes my mind. I don't think she will, but to me, she seems like a giant cornball, and I think a lot of people are fooled by her.
But being a cornball is different than being fake.
I think she's fake. I think she's a cornball.
Being a cornball, by the way, not the worst thing that somebody can be.
No.
Being cornball, like, is just being...
But being overly earnest.
I think she's highly overrated. Like, half the awards she has.
Well, that's a completely different thing, though.
No, I'm adding on to that. I'm not taking back anything I said about her. I'm adding on. I think she is highly overrated. And her albums, she's a good artist. And she's hella talented. But she's not all that. Like, she's not... For every award show that she has gone on, and every award that she's won, I'm sure a good three or four of those could have gone to someone else.
Yeah, of course. But that's any award.
Okay, but I'm just telling you why I don't dig her.
But that's why I take awards out of it, because they don't mean anything.
Okay, but also the publicity that she gets. I think it's only she wrote another song about her ex-boyfriend. Okay, artists do that all the time. Why is it something with Taylor Swift? Because they have nothing else to talk about. Her being
everybody's telling me it sounds like Flyleaf. Do you remember Flyleaf?
Flyleaf.
Yes,
Taylor Swift fronting Tool there sounds like Flyleaf. They were like a Christian band.
Sick. Nuh-uh.
I don't know that.
They were punk. I remember when they came out.
No, they were a Christian band.
If it's not pop, it's punk.
Right.
Flyleaf, they came out with a song called I'm So Sick.
Yes, they were. It had one hit. They were a Christian band. They tried to keep it under wraps because they didn't want to get pegged as that, but they were. Like, Skillet is a Christian band, but they don't, like, run around telling everyone that. They don't do worship festivals because they don't want to get pigeonholed. Alan, for a guy who knows virtually nothing about the music itself, Poundcake really knows all the gossip.
Yeah.
Does he subscribe to Tiger Beat?
What is that?
Do you subscribe to Tiger Beat?
So that's a no, because I don't even know what that
is. Right, that's a magazine, sir, mm-hmm. or madam.
No, but he watches Wendy Williams constantly and all these other gossip shows.
I've been around for the last 10 years, and I just seen the news circulating around Taylor Swift. And when I watched Kanye West got up on stage and took away her award.
He didn't take away her award.
So if you watch the documentary, what would need to be in the documentary for you to revise your opinion?
I mean, I had my opinion changed on Hillary Clinton when she went on Howard Stern.
So what would be in the documentary?
Like
what could you envision where you go, oh, that's...
I don't know, because I don't know what to expect, because I don't know her, but just from what I've seen, I don't mesh with her. So I don't know. I will watch.
But I think it's funny, though, because people will always change their opinions after they see a more personal side of someone, mm-hmm. which is a perfectly natural reaction. They're like, right. Oh, once you get to know her, mm-hmm. then you realize. You're like, yeah, that's how everyone is.
And then you realize there's also a lot of marketing and publicists behind her, because she's not just an artist. She's an industry for people. Like, she is a corporation, basically. So, of course, they're going to do everything they can to publicize what she does to sell more records.
Which I feel like is where the perceived phoniness might come in, too, because you're like, look, I am responsible for a lot of people's livelihoods.
And it may not be her fault, but from what she's not somebody that I would hang out with. She doesn't look fun to me. She doesn't, her idea of fun, I feel like she would be like, oh, let's go for a walk in the park, or let's go mini golfing. I'm like, no, like, let's go. Let's go get lit. Like, I don't want to do this. I can't see Taylor Swift hitting the bong. I just can't.
You don't have a, an image to protect.
Okay. And that's fair.
Yeah.
But
you just wouldn't want to hang out with her.
Everybody has, a private life. And a lot of pop stars, they hit the bong when no one's watching and paparazzi never catches them.
So it's all about hitting the bong?
No, I'm just saying, I want to see
something. You don't think she likes to party and dance and have a good time?
I want to see something edgy.
She's pushing 30, by the way. So she's not 18 anymore. You've mentioned hitting the bong a couple of times. So she's probably just hit the bong. I mean,
something of the sort.
And what's edgy in pop music?
I don't know.
For a guy whose favorite punk band is Panic at the Disco, what exactly is edgy to you?
As much crap as I give Halsey,
talk about corny.
She's a little edgy. I can at least give it to her. She may have mustard vagina, but at least she looks a little edgy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't know. A tattoo. Maybe she did something.
A tattoo.
Maybe get a motorcycle.
Tattoos are hardly edgy.
I don't know.
Everybody's got them. I'm more edgy because I don't have any tattoos.
You can't ask me, why I don't mesh with the person.
We absolutely can.
But I tell you, just from what I saw of her, I don't like. I explained to you why.
You haven't actually given us any real reasons, it seems like.
Well, forget.
But I don't have to like someone.
Right.
I never said you had to.
No.
I'm not.
Listen, here's the thing.
Jesus.
Here's what I'm trying to get to. I fully understand not liking someone. What I don't understand, is it a step beyond that to say, I laugh when they're upset?
It was the one
That's
time.
A different thing. Like, if I don't like somebody, I don't pay attention to them.
Right.
If there's an artist I don't like, I don't, hate like them. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? People go, oh, I hate listen to that. I go, no, I ignore them.
Because
I don't like their material or their art or whatever. It's for other people who are not me. But when you say, I laugh thinking of her crying, that's a very different...
10 years ago!
So what? You're no different than you were 10 years ago.
Not true.
You're still laughing at other people's pain now. So clearly, you are no different. If you saw her cry in this documentary, you would laugh.
She does cry in this documentary.
Then
I saw
you'll
it in
laugh.
The trailer. I did cry.
10 years hence, you'll laugh. Won't you?
I guess we'll see you tonight.
Uh-huh.
I hit the pen. I'll see. I'll go into it with a clear mind and...
hit the pen?
Yeah, so pretty edgy.
Yeah, real edgy. He's right. He's the one hitting the bong. Yeah. He wants her to hit the bong.
No, it's just... What Mary talked about Jack Black, she thinks that he's a cornball. She doesn't think he's funny. And
but she doesn't. Just, but she doesn't laugh like if his dog died. She
no,
probably
she said
wouldn't
she
laugh.
Would though.
Oh, she did.
Yeah,
oh.
She said she would. And also,
Hotcake's the edgiest one out of all of us.
Hey, I molest children.
It's pretty edgy. Yeah,
that's very edgy. I don't quite understand that humor, but
it's unnecessarily edgy. Mm-hmm.
Trans people ruined everything. Well, no one wants to touch my vagina. Like I.
Do you have the new one yet?
Huh?
Do you have the new one?
No, I don't.
What new one?
Don't you worry about it.
Don't talk about me.
Huh?
Nothing.
I'm not talking about you.
He's talking for you.
That's right.
I just, yeah, I'm with you. I don't get into that kind of like hate liking things or like hating, whatever it is. It just, if I don't like something, I just ignore it. I don't like Kanye, and he's hardly in my life. The Kardashians.
He also doesn't get radio play. Kanye doesn't get radio play.
I don't listen to the radio. I talk on it.
Yeah. When I'm at home, I don't want to feel like I'm at work.
The things that I like, she...
When you're working at McDonald's, you don't go home and fire up the grill, start flipping hamburgers.
I like watching The View. I like watching Wendy Williams. And she pops up in the news cycle, so I'm like, ugh, another Taylor Swift story.
Good thing, too. Boy, nothing fake about Wendy Williams.
Right. So real, that
Nothing
one.
Corny about her.
But she's edgy.
Edgy. She's got edges.
Okay. Whatever.
You like what you like.
I like
you.
What I like.
And just, that's fine. I'm just curious where you go down these other roads.
Figure out these the
what,
process.
What other like roads?
Well, when they're in pain, it makes me laugh.
You're still hanging on to that.
These are your words.
I don't wish death upon her or anything like that. I laugh because she cried.
Well, I'm glad,
over
you're,
Jim
I'm glad
Gyllenhaal.
You're not being dramatic about it, that I don't wish death on her. No one said you wish death on anyone. You said, I laugh thinking of her sitting in a corner of her bathroom crying.
At 21 over with Jake Gyllenhaal.
What does that have to do with
you
anything?
You gotta put it in context. You're making it seem like it's so terrible. She was talking to a 32, 34-year-old man at 21. She wanted her to come to her house.
The context is that you are my chief petty officer. And it doesn't matter if she's 21 or 29.
Well, I don't care.
You would still laugh at her crying.
Screw her and her stupid ponytail, and I'm happy that she cried on her 21st birthday. I don't care.
And where did you put the ponytail in there, right?
I just imagine her, because she's corny, and she would have like a little ponytail with a stupid little, what do they have? A little scrunchie, and that's what she would wear to her birthday.
Yeah.
She's not wearing a scrunchie.
All right. I mean, if you figure she was crying because she had had her heart broken.
Whatever.
You cry in your car to Celine Dion.
Because I feel it.
Feel what?
I just feel the music.
If you, dear customer, ever happen to be in traffic and you're next to Poundcake when he's crying in his car, point and laugh.
They've already
Send me that video.
People have already seen me, so it's fine. That's why I stopped doing it at stoplights. I turn it all the way down so I don't feel it. Ever since that construction worker pointed me out and all his friends laughed at me, I
Oh, that would have been great if they caught that on
it
video.
It was right outside here, right on Rockside.
Yeah, I know where it's at. I'm just saying they should have videoed it.
Well, they were working. And they should have been working a lot harder instead of paying attention to me.
Alan, the only thing edgy about Wendy Williams is her jawline.
Ha ha. Ha, 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 ha,
ha. I think, yeah. All right.
Plus all the D that I want, Taylor gets, and I don't like that neither.
Neither.
I think that's what it comes down to.
Too much Poundcake!
Way too much.
You're jealous that Taylor Swift
gets
D?
Gets the famous D that he wants, and so he's going to laugh at her 21st.
I didn't think Jake Gyllenhaal was your type.
Why would he not be my type?
I assume you don't have a type, or there is a type you don't. You like
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Twinks.
No, that's just what's around here, these Cleveland bottoms. But no, I would totally go to Hollywood and grab a Jake Gyllenhaal. Jarhead, oh yeah, I'll take me one. I'll take a Harry Styles, even though he probably has the foreskin. And the other guy she dated, what was his name?
John Mayer.
John Mayer.
Yeah, John Mayer. I would take a John Mayer, too. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, it's all coming into... dare I say, clearer focus.
I'm going to watch it tonight. Is it on Netflix or is it Hulu?
Netflix.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll watch it tonight.
What's it called? Miss Americana?
Something like that.
Yeah. The Taylor Swift
documentary.
I'll watch
it tonight, too.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
I won't watch it, but I will trust that both of you will come in with specific opinions on it.
If I see one hair scrunchie, I'm turning it off.
If you see what?
A hair scrunchie.
A hair scrunchie.
I don't think she wears scrunchies, man.
What's your hang up with scrunchies,
I don't know.
By the way?
I don't know.
Were you molested outside of Claire's boutique?
No. I don't know what I don't know why I hate scrunchies. I can't explain that either. I just do. I have very harsh feelings.
That might be something to bring up in therapy.
Maybe.
Alan, why are you such a dick to Pound Cake? Yeah, I'm the bad guy here. That's what
you
it
are.
Is.
You're
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah, I'm right. Well, it's my show. A, I can do whatever I want. B, I'm trying to drill into this kid's brain and figure out what's in there before I hit water.
Pushing me to like that white demon Taylor Swift.
I don't need you to like anyone. I'm trying to get in there and figure out what's going on.
Well, newsflash.
And then get out. Okay. Well, there you go.
Joke's on you. Keep digging and digging and come up with nothing. Right. So who's the brainiac now?
Hit the water tank.
And that's why we're addicted to him.
Contaminated the groundwater. I'm jealous of him because I can't feel anything, Bill.
Yeah.
So I'm jealous of Pound Cake crying in his car.
Voice call received.
Put this on the air, dumbass. You think you know it all? You're just nothing but a piece of sh. Talk about dumb sh that you don't have a clue about.
Another satisfied customer of the Alan Cox Show.
Just shut up and play the music.
On 100.7 WMMS.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña colada.
I could never figure out how these two ended up staying together because they were both caught trying to fool around on each other. The Pina Colada song?
Yeah, it's a weird
guy,
song.
He's the guy reading, a big hit for Rupert Holmes back in the day. You know, the guy's reading a classified ad, and the song goes through, and at the end, it's the girl he was already with.
I always like a song like that that's got a little story to it. There's a little twist at the end.
Sure.
Fun.
And so you're left with, oh, well, what they wanted was right in front of them the whole time.
But they were doing something wrong to get there.
The subtext is they were both stepping out.
Right, but neither of them actually stepped out, so it's okay, and they both had the same intention, so they go, ah, we'll put it behind us and we'll just
Call it even.
We'll call it even and realize that we're meant to be together.
But wouldn't you be checking the classified ads every day after that?
No. No? Not if you want to be happy, no. You gotta just put it behind you and try and rebuild that trust.
Anyway, there's a guy who writes for the New York Times named Todd Goldberg who got a lot of traction on a tweet today. Did you see this?
No.
Who are the worst people in the history of songs?
Hmm.
The couple in the Pina Colada song, he said, they deserve their pain. Jolene, obviously, if you remember the Dolly Parton classic, Jolene, please don't take my man.
Yeah.
Everyone in Cats in the Cradle, get some therapy, you're ruining lives. And Luca's husband, that mother needs to be walked into a door. Remember the song Luca?
Mm.
About the kid who gets beat up by his dad and the mom? It's a domestic violence song. And so everybody threw in on this guy's tweet with some very good suggestions.
All right, what else is
there? The guy who left Diana Ross's cake out in the rain. Or Donna Summer.
Donna Summer, yeah. It's just a cake, though.
It is just a cake, yes.
Like there, as far as people being the worst, I'd put the cake guy lower.
Okay.
Stan, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Waterfalls.
Poor Jason Waterfalls. Somebody said the kids in Jeremy's class weren't great.
Yeah, Jeremy would. I would rank Jeremy lower than the kids in his class.
You know, my wife's a huge Pearl Jam fan. Mm-hmm. I like Pearl Jam, but like Eddie Vedder is her hall pass, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I've had it's been incumbent upon me to make sure they never cross paths. All of the connections that I've had over the course of my radio career I've, in the time that she and I have been together, I've tried to make sure that there's no way I will not facilitate her meeting Eddie Vedder. You understand what I'm saying?
Do you have any idea what she might say to Eddie Vedder if she meets him? Would she have any sort of like catchphrase or any sort of introduction
that she would say to him? No.
Maybe something that, you know,
along the lines been, of,
you know, well, she's got a nice bum.
Oh, you mean my daughter?
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's something that Gwen would say to Eddie Vedder.
Oh, yeah.
If she met Eddie Vedder.
Right.
Yeah, she'd be like, hey, Eddie Vedder.
Say hello to my ass.
Right, that's probably what she would say. Yeah. I assume that's learned behavior on the part of my daughter.
That's
she
right.
probably heard. So, yeah, the kids. Well, anyway, I mentioned Pearl Jam because after hearing Jeremy for the 4,000th time, and the song is 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the car and we heard it. We were on a road trip and I looked at her. I go, so did the kid kill himself or did he shoot classmates? Because I remember the video where the kids are all holding their hands up and they're all bloody. Jeremy shot himself
or he shot some classmates and then turned the gun on himself.
I thought he just killed himself in class.
I'm not sure. I haven't heard the song in a while. There's a new one with a pretty bad, like a nice twist in it in the Highly Suspect song 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a nice little twist in it.
What, that he's not the father?
He's not the father, and then it's black. He's cuckolded.
Oh, is that what it is?
By a black guy, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's he describe that?
It's in the song. The
baby's black?
Yeah, he's like, because I am not the father, because I am not a brother.
Oh, is that what he means?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, Highly Suspect. Because
he says like the kid came out the wrong color.
Oh, really?
I've been enjoying that song.
Those guys are from Cape Cod. I don't think there are any black guys in Cape Cod.
I've been enjoying that song, and then I was just like, yeah, it's kind of a fun song. And then the more I listened to it, I'm like, man, this song's actually a real bummer. I don't like it as much. I thought it was just like a fun song, and then that's why I try not to pay attention too much to the lyrics, because then it ruins the song sometimes.
I see. I take your point.
Yeah.
Highly Suspect. It's called 16.
Yeah.
Took me 16 years to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the
1 minute to lose you? Go a little bit. Yeah.
Is that what he means? I'm not a brother?
Yeah.
You're sure you're not reading into it?
I think that's exactly what he means.
Huh. All right. Well, at the very least, it's not his kid.
Yeah.
She's been stepping out. Somebody else on this, who are the worst people in song, somebody said, girl, you'll be a woman soon is not a viable criminal defense. You'll be a woman soon.
She's 17. She's old enough for me.
That's right.
Also not a viable defense.
Winger 17. Yeah. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me. Well, unless you are a barrister, sir. So, every woman mentioned in Mambo number 5 for contributing to that mess. The couple in the song Don't You Want Me seem pretty insufferable. I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Well, I thought it was the father, but baby, it's not my daughter because baby's a different color and baby, I'm not a brother.
Oh, baby's a different color.
Yeah, yeah.
But the different color part is the twist. Why would they throw in I'm not a brother? That seems weird to me.
I think just to
drive it home. Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. The guy
I like
who
that
let
song
the,
though, but man,
yeah,
that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, he found out it wasn't his kid.
Mm-hmm. That would be so wild to actually. I know people have had that experience where they're in the delivery room and all of a sudden the kid comes out and you're like, "Well, that's not what
that's
we're
not
expecting.
My kid."
Yeah.
And they let you find out that way.
Yeah.
They don't go, look, we have to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Can't do anything about it. I'm in the hospital bed. What you going to do?
Well, you're prolonging the inevitable.
I know. Some people like that. Or they'll see like, oh, even though it isn't my kid, I just fell in love with it when it just came out. Like, so
that well, that's
at that point, I knew that was my kid.
That's legit, though. Yeah, I mean.
Blah.
The creepy git who is bugging Eileen when she clearly said no. Come on, Eileen. Well, you know, he's got a... It's a fine line between trying to prove yourself worthy to someone and borderline stalking them.
That's a great costume, though.
You know, my mom would listen to some Kenny Rogers when I was a kid.
The Gambler.
We didn't dip our toes too much into the country genre, but when I was a kid, there was some Willie and Waylon and, you know, Kenny Rogers had a song called Lucille. And the woman walks out, and he says, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Four hungry children and a crop in the field.
Jeez.
Now, I thought he said 400 children.
That's a lot.
In the song. Many. Yeah, when I was a kid, I thought Lucille was 400 children. And I was like, wow, she's been getting around. He had another song called Ruby where he implored his girl to not take her love to town. Ruby, don't take your love to town.
My favorite.
Which I inferred to mean she was going to go start throwing it all over the place. Hey, don't take your love to town.
My favorite old-timey song is... oh, damn, it just left my mind. Run Around Sue. Run Around Sue.
Yeah, okay.
I love that.
Run Around Sue.
I giggle every time I hear it because I'm like, that is such a cool way to call somebody a hoe. Like, you're just a modern-day Run Around Sue. I love
that. Well, yeah, they weren't you really employing the hoe word back then when songs were, you know.
You're right.
The leader of the pack wasn't such a cool guy after all either.
In a bar in Toledo, across from the depot.
Toledo!
On a bar stool, she took off her ring.
Didn't remember that part.
Thought I'd get closer, so I walked on over. I sat down and asked her her name. When the drinks finally hit her, she said, I'm no quitter, but I finally quit living on dreams. I'm hungry for laughter and here ever after. I'm after whatever the other life brings. I saw him, and I closely watched him, thought how he looked out of place. He came to the woman who sat there beside me. He had a strange look on his face. The big hands were calloused, he looked like a mountain. For a minute I thought I was dead. But he started shaking, his big heart was breaking. He turned to the woman and said, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. With 400 children and a crop in the field.
400 children.
400.
Been through some sad times, but this time you're hurting won't heal. Yeah, I thought he said 400 children. By the way, where are the crops outside Toledo?
There's all sorts of farms around Toledo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like any other city in Ohio.
You know,
a city and then it's surrounded by farms.
That's true. You know, Kenny Rogers was very popular in the UK, strangely enough. He got a number one song with this in England.
That's pretty crazy.
You know, and the twist of this song
is... Country and Western music.
Yeah, the guy gets back to, you know, the guy in the song gets back to the hotel with Lucille, and then he can't perform because he's thinking of the husband.
Oh.
He's like, oh, that guy is so upset because those 400 children, 400 and I can't do anything with you because what's it going to look like down there?
Yeah.
If 400 children... Out. Oh, my God. You look like you're renovating a fireplace. 400
children.
Oh, four hungry children. Oh, that's different. But even four kids.
Don't do it. She got two kids.
Man.
See, if a guy... It's just such a double standard, and I hate it. It's crazy. But, like, if you tell a girl that you have, you know, four kids, she's like, oh, okay, I can work with that. But you tell a guy that you have four kids, he's like, I ain't doing that. There's too much baggage.
Well, yeah, because traditionally, I mean, guys think in terms of...
And what if they do that?
I'm going to be financially responsible for those kids.
No, you are the outlier, Bill. That's why I respect you. But a lot of people wouldn't do that. You can't say that that's very common.
No, I don't think it is. But I think it is common, more common than you're making it sound like.
That's why I always give my wife credit. I'm like, I don't think I would have dated somebody with kids. Honestly, yeah. I don't think I would have.
Yeah, that takes a man.
I mean, I don't think I met people.
Yeah, Gwen is quite the man.
Gwen is a real man.
She's a real man.
That's why I married her, Bill. That's why I wifed her up. She's a real man.
Mm-hmm. But like, so how did your then girlfriend tell you on the first date that she had, this is to you, Bill.
Yeah.
That she had three kids and you were just like, okay.
Yeah, I knew right away. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, it was before our first date. Like, we were talking.
Wow. So you, yeah, okay. Well, you really saw potential.
We were just honest.
Because I didn't know if it was you were in love and then it was just like, hey, you know, package deal.
Yeah, I mean, it was a package deal all along, but it was one of those things where once I started hanging out with them too, then you start becoming part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't another guy around that they were, you know, really spending time with. So I instantly kind of became a father figure to them.
See, and I think that's another reason a lot of people don't want to do it, because they're like, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be heartbroken over not being around those kids anymore.
That's why I'm not doing it again.
Right.
Because it's very hard. I mean, even my ex-girlfriend that I was living with a couple of years ago, I was a stepfather basically to that kid. And that was really one of the most difficult parts of that breakup was not seeing that kid every day.
My youngest brother, who has since remarried and had two more kids, he's got five kids, but he was engaged for a couple of years before he met his current wife, obviously. He was engaged to a woman who had a son, and then they were together for a couple of years, and then I was like, oh my god, like, how do you get around, like, when that's all done? Because I think some people go, well, we'll still keep in touch. But it's like, why would you? Because they'll eventually get remarried, and then you're just going to be like the third wheel or whatever.
It just makes me angry for such, like, wasted potential. Because my stepdad was in my life for over a decade, and, like, that's a decade I could have gone without him, quite honestly. Like, it was such a wasted opportunity.
But when they got divorced, he didn't stay in your life?
No, he knew I hated him. He knew, like, he would ask my brother things, and he would, like, talk to my brother more because he knew that anything he told me, I would either go back and tell my mom or, like, I would just give, because I hated him and he knew that he wasn't right for my life and he knew he wasn't good enough for my
mom.
So
did he stay in touch with your brother?
No.
He didn't?
No.
So when he was gone, he was gone.
He was gone. And it was, you know.
And he had a better relationship with your brother?
I wouldn't say a better relationship, but like,
your brother wasn't as hateful of him, or
my brother was more
ignoring it.
My brother wasn't as resentful. Like, he could have a conversation. You know, I have an attitude, so he could talk to my brother, and my brother could respond normally. But if he were to tell me the same thing he tells my brother, I'm like, I'll get to it when I get to it. We'll see. Like, I just, he knows. I give him the side eye. Like, you know, if you just happen to evaporate right now, I wouldn't be mad.
Hmm. Evaporate? He didn't evaporate, did he?
No.
All right. British Allen said, what about the guy who was hugging and French kissing Bill?
Yeah.
He's not the best guy in his song. Yeah.
Peggy Scott.
Yeah.
Breathing hard, French kissing.
Do I still have, did I lose that in the involuntary purge?
I don't think so.
I thought I put it back in.
You played it before, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, before the end of the year. That wasn't that long ago. Because Mary had never heard it before.
Yeah, I got to drop that in. I might have just found it on YouTube. But I gotta drop it back into my system.
We've heard it.
I'm about to tell you something you may wanna know. Can't describe what I felt inside when I found out the man I loved another guy. I walked outside, I couldn't believe my eyes. He
Can't she hear how hard he was breathing from across the room?
She just sees his chest going up and down.
Wheezing hard. And by the way, in this video, it's a white guy.
Of course it is.
Oh, man, that is...
Lock up your husbands, ladies.
And you never thought of anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Man was a friend.
God uncle to my only son. Uncle Bill laying the pipe.
Stepmom Bill.
Yeah, well, anyway, she was ready for Jane. She wasn't for Bill to take her main.
Oh, that's so funny.
But there you go. Peggy Scott.
My man.
One of the great...
Isn't there like a sequel to that we listened to last time?
No, Spousal Abuse.
Oh, Spousal Abuse.
No, there's a sequel. There's like Bill is Back or something. Yeah.
Get off of Bill. Get off his tip, man. Leave that man alone. Let her. It's 2020.
She's calling out all the undercover brothers. Man.
He ain't a brother.
Her man is.
Her man is.
Yeah.
Yeah. 216-578-1007. Want to join us? Or 800-348-1007. You can text me. 35192. People have taken this worst people in songs ball.
Roll with
really,
it.
Oh my God,
I
really run with it.
I love it.
Cavaliers tonight. They lost against the Knicks last night. That Latrell Sprewell boy, he is tough. Man, that's tough.
They really lost that game.
139-134.
They were winning most of it.
They lost. I think the Cavs are 13-28.
13-37.
Yeah. They're off tonight. You can't lose when you don't play. And they'll be in Oklahoma City tomorrow night.
You can't lose when everybody gets traded, though.
Cavs at Thunder tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, here on WMMS. Your FM flagship for Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. So, yeah, the worst people in songs. Alan, what about Timothy? Do you remember that song, Timothy? The Pina Colada guy wrote that song. We've played it before about the guys who are in the mine and eat their friend Timothy. That's what the song is about. What did we do? There are three men trapped in a collapsed mine and two of them eat Timothy.
I don't think we've talked about this before.
I feel like we've played this before. The band was called the Buoys. Like out there on the... Not the boys. The Buoys. Imagine that's your song. You're like, oh, what's your song about? Cannibalism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a hit song
under
about cannibalism.
Extreme circumstances, though.
Sure.
That's when cannibalism becomes more of a gray area. Right?
Well, if you let the person sit there too long, mm-hmm. Yeah. Billie Jean was an indiscriminate slut.
Yeah.
Daryl Hall in Private Eyes is a big old creeper. How about Mama Loves Papa by Garth Brooks?
That ritual was no peach either, though.
Well, he kept calling her a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was kind of a bitch.
The date rape guy in the Sublime song.
Oh, yeah, he's bad.
But he gets his in the end.
Yeah,
right?
He gets it. Yeah. Literally.
Alan, there's a song by the Decemberists called The Rakes Song. He kills his three kids because his wife dies and he doesn't want to be burdened with them.
Jeez.
Okay.
All those girls singing about paying their bills. Destiny's Child.
Yeah, right.
They're the bad guys in that song.
Uh-huh.
Because also, she's supposed to be some independent woman, but also pay my bills. Mixed messages.
What about the guy that's on the passenger side in No Scrubs? Trying to holler.
He's the scrub.
I was going to say, he's hollering at Chili.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is indeed a scrub.
I mean, Wrong Way by Sublime. You know, there's a 12-year-old hooker in that song.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
It's the wrong way, man.
Wrong way. Stripper Scott texted me one time. I was at a strip club getting chatted up by some foxy young thing when she dropped, "I have four kids" on me. I was so dumbstruck. All I could say was, wow, that's a lot of kids, and I got up and left.
For you to get up and leave a conversation with a hot chick? Whoa.
Oh, yeah, but he's got a code.
And a girl was chatting him up?
He doesn't.
At a strip club.
Well, it's a strip club.
I know.
They're on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
They're chatting all those guys up. And it's his money. He don't want to spend it on four kids.
He's like, well.
He wants to spend it on her.
That's a lot of mouths to feed. What you going to do for it?
He wants someone that was only recently a kid.
Right. Somebody who's legally just stopped being a kid.
Yeah.
All right.
Stripping is a profession like anything else. Puts food on the table, keeps the lights on. Nobody's judging.
Was that another pound cake hot take, Bill?
It seems like it.
Hey! It's a pound cake hot take!
Just saying. I don't look down on any stripper.
No one...
Who said you did?
I don't know.
You traditionally look up at them.
Kinda.
It's nearly impossible to look down on them. There's none of that in the champagne room.
I haven't been to the strip club in a while.
Oh, there's champagne in the champagne room.
Well, yeah. Dirty Diana wasn't too picky either. If you go back into the Michael Jackson discography, the dad in A Boy Named Sue.
The guy from Shot a Man in Reno, just watch him die.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a good guy. It's a bad guy.
I mean, yeah, if you shoot a guy just to watch him die, you've got some issues.
What about the guy who...
You need to talk to someone about that.
What about the guy who hurt Boy George?
Well, he said, do you really want to hurt me?
Yeah. Do you really want to make me cry?
Right. But I don't... But I felt like he was kind of warning it, right? Like, are you sure you want to do this? Was there ever any closure there?
Hmm.
Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry? A lot of talk still about J-Lo and Shakira killing it.
Shakira.
At the Super Bowl. You know, the pearl clutching aside from the usual suspects, most people agree, rationally, beautiful. That it was a fantastic halftime show.
It was really
great. I'm bummed I missed it, quite honestly.
Fair boys say the people in dry love. Fatty is pretty nasty in that song.
There's nothing wrong with the people in dry love. You don't want anybody scratching your beans.
Well, I'm teenage Bill in that, and we're just not ready to take it to that next level, so there's some dry humping happening.
Right.
And you are Club Allen, who's kind of a creep that likes to rub up on girls in clubs. But, you know.
But we're all rubbing up against each other. And then it looked like I spilled a white Russian on my pants.
Yes.
Right.
And then.
But that doesn't make us creeps.
But Fatty.
She's leaking.
She's leaking. She's twerking. And she's rubbing on Ian's sleeping friends. There's a gherkin in there somewhere.
Yeah. Twerking the gherkin.
Yeah. Fupa King Koopa. God damn, that song's stupid.
Oh, it's great. Franklin Graham, who is one of your fake Christians, he's Billy Graham's son. He was commenting on the Super Bowl halftime show, and he goes, look, I don't expect the world to act like the church, but then moral decency, blah, 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 protecting children, as if they care about that.
Where's that
blah,
dog?
Blah, blah.
Turn it off, then. Just turn it off.
If
you don't like
blah,
it,
blah, blah.
Turn it off and shut the hell up.
Here's what I like, though. Everybody's dragging this woman who responded to him and said, agreed. Even my 13-year-old son got up and went to his bedroom. Simply disgusting. And they're like, oh, sweetie.
Oh, honey.
You know what he was doing, right? You think your son... And that's the trouble with people who have no sense of irony, who are fundamentalists in any capacity, is they don't see what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
You thought your 13-year-old son got up after the J-Lo Shakira halftime show because he was disgusted?
Yeah, he's like, I can't watch another second of this with my mom.
I'll be in my room.
Oh, that's the worst.
You don't want to watch it with your mom?
Hell no. I used to hate watching really hot sex scenes, and then I'm like, ah, my mom's in the room. This sucks.
Well, especially because you kind of couldn't, for a while, let on as to what you really dug.
Well, no. I
mean, if
the one sex scene that would really get me was the one in Unfaithful. And my mom, that was like one of my mom's favorite
movies.
Was
that Diane Lane?
Yeah, and that okay. one guy. And right in the hallway where he gets her and he gets her good.
In the hallway.
I used to hate that. I was like, oh my gosh, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. And I was like, be mature, be mature, be mature. And I'm like, I can't watch it.
But
I'm,
why would you watch that with your
yeah,
mom?
Why would you watch that
why
with
are you
mom?
There in the first That's place?
So because my thinking was, don't make a big deal about it. It's not a big deal. There's sex scenes on TV all the time. But, like, it's just a movie like anything else. So I figured it would be more, like, I would draw more attention to myself if but I if got it's up one of your, out of the room.
No, rather, but if you know it's one of your mom's favorite movies, she doesn't love it for the script.
But it was,
you know why she likes it.
No, but, like, we would watch it. This sounds bad, but it was, like, at a family function. Like, it was, like, I don't know.
What?
Like,
what?
I know. It would be like when we're all together, we'll have movie night, and it was like.
And they picked Unfaithful?
I think it just happened to be on. I think it was like a TV movie, but still, it showed everything. It showed the sex scene, and I was like, ugh. And there it went, and I was like, put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down.
But again, you are here because your mom had sex. So it's like.
But it's still.
It's uncomfortable. I was more uncomfortable years ago watching Pitch Perfect with my family.
Why?
Because I wanted to pull my skin off my face. That movie is so bad.
But you have to worry about getting a boner.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Anna Kendrick's pretty cute.
He didn't get her good in the stairwell, though.
And then who else? There's a bunch of cute girls in that movie.
Brittany Snow. Yeah. But still, those movies are so, so, so awful. Mm-hmm. It was making me angry that we were watching it.
Yes, but... Still, it's not a sex scene. No one's getting done dirty in the stairwell.
Like, I would have rather had that. I would have rather watched. My kids weren't there.
But I'm saying.
I would have rather had. Oh, you mean me being my parents' kids?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a grown man. Like, they know. I have children. They know that I've had sex, and I exist, so I know they've had sex.
That's weird.
As conservative as my parents are in so many other ways, they were never conservative about that. I hated watching Pitch Perfect. Seriously, I would rather have watched 9.5 weeks with my parents than watch Pitch Perfect.
What's 9.5 weeks?
It's a sex movie.
Sex movie from the '80s. Kim Basinger, Mickey Rourke. They inspired a generation of people to pretend that they liked having food in
yeah,
sex.
Like food yeah, makes sex
pour
good.
Honey on. Yeah, yeah
it's, you're not gonna watch
just sticky and terrible.
Nymphomaniac with your kids.
Nymphomania, the Shia LaBeouf thing.
Yeah.
No, if it's a movie called Nymphomaniac, you know
dirty.
What it's a,
yeah.
right. No, I'm not going to watch Antichrist or Nymphomaniac. Any of those movies with my kids.
I mean, it never fails though. If I was watching something like Game of Thrones, my kids would always walk in as
right,
soon as
right,
there's
the
a
boobs.
Scene. Yeah, like boobs, or there's a big dong on the screen. They like, and they just walk in. They're like, "What are you guys watching? Oh, okay, I gotta go." But they wouldn't like hang out for it.
Boobs.
And it's one of those things where you can't just pause it because then you're just paused on the boobs.
Boobs.
That's what are you guys doing here? It's just a giant teat on the screen. See,
I remember when I was younger, like we had HBO for free for a bit, and my mom was like in the shower and she left the TV on, and I walked out to the living room and it was like, I think it was like Real Sex or something like that. And I was like, okay, so she knows, she changed the channel to HBO, so she knows what channel it's on. I was like, if I change it, she's going to know that I saw something I wasn't supposed to see, and I changed it. I was like, but if I leave it there...
Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah. So I was like, but if I leave it, because it was loud. It was blaring through the whole house. It was in the living room, and it was real sex, and there were just, you know, a bunch of dongs on TV and boobs hanging out. So I just, like, stood there for a minute, and as soon as I heard the shower stop, I ran to my room, and instantly, like, when my mom got out and saw what was on TV, she comes, she's like, you getting ready for bed? I'm like, mm-hmm. Like... I think she knew that I knew what was going on in the living room, and I just was trying to not go.
How old were you?
Oh, I was probably like 11. Uh-huh. This was at my very first, like, the house I grew up in, so I couldn't have been more than 11 because we moved out at 12.
I had so many episodes
Boner.
Of Red Shoe Diaries on tape.
David Duchovny?
Yeah. Because we didn't, for whatever reason, we had Cinemax. Or whatever. Was it Showtime? I think it was on Showtime.
Showtime, yes.
Yeah, so we had Showtime, and I would just... like schedule it and record it, and then like, but it was like a heist where I'd have to like go out there, set it to record, let it record. I'd put a piece of tape over the VCR in case my dad came down.
Oh my god!
And saw anything. Yeah, so that like lights when it like because it would say REC on the VCR.
Oh my god!
And then there'd be a red light too.
That's funny.
So I'd have to like cover that up so that he wouldn't be suspicious. And then
wait, you had all kinds. It was like a heist. You were playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever get caught?
And all the time.
Like watching porn?
I got caught one time where it was like a real close call where I just hit like like switched over from one channel to the other.
Oh my god!
And I was just like I had just flipped to Sports Center, and my dad's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I just watched Sports Center." He's like, "Oh yeah, you should go to bed now." I'm like, "I ain't go to bed now." I just went to bed.
So he knew.
Yeah, he knew. I mean, they know.
I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to be able to lie on my stomach for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in there on my back or side sleeping. Alan, try watching Sausage Party with your parents. Horrible mistake.
Yeah.
Watching that movie at all is a horrible mistake.
Probably, yeah.
Talk about an unfunny movie. I don't know how Seth Rogen makes an unfunny cartoon, but he managed to do it.
Sure did.
Right?
Yeah.
The movie was not funny.
It was not great. Not good at all. There's lots of stuff like that. It's just so awkward. But that's one of the things, like, my parents have so little interest in anything that's, like, they won't even watch R-rated movies, so there's not a lot of sex scenes below that.
But even, like, a non-sexy, like, they wouldn't watch, like, The Bourne Identity or something.
Those are PG-13.
Are they?
Yeah.
So they won't watch an R-rated movie? They'd watch something like
Saving Private Ryan, but no, not really, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They take it pretty serious.
It's filth. It's just nothing but filth.
Well, no, but even people who don't like sex movies are usually fine with violent movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it when we were watching Freddy vs. Jason at the drive-in. Oh, my God. So it was.
How could you forget that? Freddy vs. Jason. Freddy vs. A modern classic.
But Freddy vs. Jason and
Casablanca, and then Freddy vs. Jason right underneath it.
All the kids, like me and like my brother and my cousins, were all in my brother's car. So we were one car. And then all the adults, like my mom, my aunt, and my uncle, were all in the other car. And we were parked right next to each other. And then there's like one scene, like you just see a big old butt across the screen. And this guy's like, F me, baby. And I just hear my mom
Jesus.
Go, yeah, I know. I just hear my mom like, ah. Like, and she knows that there's a car full of, like, young dudes right next to her. I was like, this is pretty awkward. Just a big old butt twerking right on the
screen. She was fine with the murdering, just not the ass on screen?
Yes, yeah. Because the guy
always was, how it is.
Yeah.
If there was a halftime show where people just went out there and pretended to kill people, they'd be like, now this is something our family can enjoy.
That's
American
right.
Classics.
Yeah. Finally, you're considering the children. Yes. Freddy versus
very
Jason.
Realistic.
Yeah, it was pretty intense because it came out of nowhere. Like usually those sex scenes, they're not required. Like it's not going to be.
But they're always in horror movies,
especially like,
violence and
Jason
sex.
Jason movies are needed. Known for that.
Yes,
where
they all get killed
like,
right when
the code of the slasher film was basically taken from the Jason movies because the whole premise of Friday the 13th is the kid drowned because all the counselors were banging each other.
They weren't paying attention to him.
Yeah.
Right. So, whoever's having sex, you're both going to get killed.
You got to die.
That's right.
It was funny.
That movie made $115 million.
Freddy vs. Jason?
Wow. Cost $25 million to make. Made $115
million. It was a big deal. Like, I don't go through the drive-in movie theater like often, but that particular time, there was no parking spots to watch it. So
It was Robert Englund's final appearance as Freddy Krueger.
He was great.
I remember meeting Robert Englund when my wife used to work for the Cleveland Film Commission. They'd had a wrap party for a movie that he shot in Medina some years ago. And a bunch of us were at this restaurant, and he was there, and we're just chatting it up. And Robert Englund, very nice guy, very talented dude. But boy, for a guy who was known for that character, he must have felt slightly ambivalent about it because the whole conversation I had with him is about how he came up doing Shakespeare and classic theater, and he was classically trained. I think a lot of these people who really want to be taken seriously as actors, but then you fall ass backwards into what ends up being an iconic character.
And that's who you are.
And then you're like, I do more than this. I want to do more than this, but you're always going to be Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm. Bronson Pinchot from Perfect Strangers.
Valky Bartokomous.
Yeah. Sean Penn was saying, don't take that role, you'll find another thing, you're a great actor, don't take that role, took that role, hardly worked ever since.
He was in, I liked him in True Romance. He was the cocaine guy in True Romance.
Yeah, I mean, but how long ago was that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. He made a lot of money playing Valky
Valky Bartokomous. But that show wasn't even on that long, was it?
No.
Perfect Strangers?
But that's one of those situations that kind of wrecked his career.
Cousin Larry! Yeah. Oh, Cousin Larry! Bronson Pinchot. He's 60. Because he was also Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
He was like, don't be stupid. You remember he was like the He had a couple of classic characters.
But he didn't work really... all that stuff was during or before Perfect Strangers.
Well, it was all after.
Was it all after?
Perfect Strangers was on for 7 seasons.
7 seasons. When was the last season?
Oh, 93.
Okay, see, yeah, like the Beverly Hills Cop
80s, yeah.
80s, and then True Romance was probably, what, 91 or 92?
93.
So it was like right after. Then, yeah.
First Wives Club, he did like some TV shows. Yeah, but it's like he was doing one of those Vanilla Ice renovation shows for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hollywood's tough.
it really is. Tough. Hey, I would like to audition for this film. Can you hammer a nail? We feel like your talents might
make
be
sets.
Your talents might be more behind the camera at this point.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find 4 of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink. Unless you can double think, you'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.